This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
It's a special two-hour Doug and Daddy show live from the Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Doug took the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth east to catch up with Big Ten coaches and players about the upcoming football season. So let's go live to Chicago for the Doug and Daddy show.
Good morning from Chicago once again, everyone. More coverage of the 2015 Big Ten Media Days. It is Nebraska Day. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, and our producer-engineer Caleb Henry back at the studio will be with you for the next couple of hours with a lot of chats here. We're going to throw in some names here early on that we expect to talk to and that we will be talking to, including Fox National College Football Analyst Joel Klatt, the former Colorado quarterback, is going to join us right around 12 noon today. We'll also hear from Nebraska football coach Mike Riley, not only from the big room, but we had a chance to have a little radio soiree with him earlier this morning.
Radio ambush.
And he will specifically answer the question about Riker Fife as well as he can right now. And I think for our listening area, that is the big question. There are many questions about Nebraska football, and there are many that they can't really be answered
really
until we start
sure
playing
yet.
Some football.
Yeah.
We know there's some depth issues. I was talking with some of the Husker guys earlier this morning. You know, the difference between winning 9 and 10 games and 6 and 7 games could be who's injured, where the depth is, where some off-field situations are, where the roster gets trimmed. We had too many quarterbacks. All of a sudden, maybe you don't have Johnny Stanton's gone. Maybe you don't have Riker. There's questions whether he'll be on scholarship or not. He was put on last year. Huge deal.
Yeah.
As we went through that and talked to him. So we'll talk to the coach about that, and he's got a couple comments about that. One of them, he does say, and we'll hear the actual words, but he said that Riker Fife is currently on scholarship, but fall is not over yet. And here's part of what he said. He's actually in a good position to continue to compete at some role at quarterback, whether it's between the two or the three. I think fall camp for Riker will be very, very important. I kind of like the way he plays. He's kind of a natural player, a little bit unorthodox, but kind of fun and productive in general. He's been through some injury stuff. I hope he's healthy and ready to go, saying he's on scholarship, adding now as we go forward, there are some scholarship decisions yet to be made and some guys added too. Some guys have been on a one-year deal that have the ability to be renewed. That kind of thing might end that way, but that's the way it was with this group for some guys. So those decisions will be made as we go probably before and into fall camp. Guys that are on scholarship right now will not be, that's what that's saying, is there are guys that are on scholarship now that will not be on scholarship 1 month from now.
And it might be as many as 10 or 15, from what we've kind of understood, that there might be a major reshuffling there. And if that happens, Riker Fife could be in that as well. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't think that's fully been determined yet, but you don't often hear coaches saying that. And you ask the question about one individual player, Riker, and then he turns around and the discussion about Riker gets him to be thinking, well, there's going to be some players that don't have really have one. That bode well in terms of Riker Fife in his playing time.
We'll also hear Nebraska safety Nate Gary, one of the captains. Of course, all captains, three guys that are here for Nebraska are juniors, which may be something interesting. We'll talk with John of Giltner. We spoke yesterday was Iowa Day, but it was after the Doug and Daddy show, and it was before he ate the entire egg shell and all. He was one of the favorites.
He's a bit of a media darling because he's a little off kilter.
Yeah,
there.
He's not right in the middle, and you know you kind of want to look and go, really? How weird are you? This just all an act. First, it's the moped riding, then it's the egg, then it's some of the other things. Speaking Swahili,
he enjoys life.
He's an interesting. I mean, he's doing it all. He's a great college young man and probably has some different interests out there. So we'll hear from Drew. We'll also catch up with Indiana quarterback Nate Sudfeld. He is one of the two keynote speakers with the players' speech today at the Big Ten Luncheon, which will get underway around 12 noon. From 11:30 to 2 here, it's going to be pretty quiet because the coaches and players are going to be at that luncheon. But we had good response from Minnesota this morning, so we'll hear from Minnesota as well. We'll hear from Jim Harbaugh, the head football coach at Michigan, giving some insight today as well. Plus, a lot on Nebraska. Jordan Stevenson yesterday afternoon giving the commit. Coach Riley, when he hasn't signed, you can't say a whole lot except he says we are actively recruiting him. So this is supposed to be a huge get. Nebraska would have 6 pretty good running backs. Randy, do you look at a guy like this coming in next week, would have 1 month to be ready to play on this football team? I mean, his where he's at, he's probably in a spot that he could do that, but I doubt as a youngster where he's at, he will be in the mix right away.
I wouldn't think necessarily right away, but running back is one of those positions. I mean, if you're doing a coverage, if you're worried about coverage, you probably don't have him in there because he's not sure who's he going to pick up coming after your quarterback, and you can get your quarterback hurt if that happens. But a simple basic dive play, I think he knows we're going to hand you off the ball, you're going to go off right tackle. You know, so it depends what the play is. They might be limited in what they'd be able to use, but he wouldn't have the opportunity to do that because some of it's just instinctual anyway. Some of those plays are. The other ones, you might limit when you have him in there. You kind of almost know if he's in the game, he's going to run the football, and that wouldn't necessarily be good until he kind of learns more of the offense.
Doug Duna, Randy Bushcutter with you here on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Glad to have you along with us from the Hyatt McCormick Place in Chicago and Big Ten Media Days, brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of Central and Western Nebraska and praying for Husker victories just like you are. We want to thank all the folks that are making our trip here possible. Coming up later on in the program, it's Friday, so we've got our Friday Fanatics fantasy quiz. For some folks, it's a fantasy to win our Fanatics $25 gift card. For others, it's reality. So we'll do that between the now and the end of the show. There are a couple of other sports notes. Congratulations to Riley Reinertsen of Gibbon. He wins the Nebraska men's amateur yesterday by birdieing the last two holes. It was tight. He had 3 holes to go in a 3-way tie, and he bogeyed 16, but then he birdies the 208-yard par 3 and birdies 18, finishes at 2-under at Indian Creek in Elkhorn. So congratulations to the Oklahoma golfer out of Gibbon, Riley Reinertsen.
Birdie on 17 and 18 of the last day of the tournament. That is as dramatic as you can kind of get as a finish. Tip your hats off to him. He knew we kind of had to make some plays out there, and that's exactly what he did down the stretch.
And also one side note here. Today they have announced the 2015 UNK Athletic Hall of Fame, recipients. And they include Aaron Arnold Kay in volleyball, class of 2004. Kerry Hainert-Golte, track and field, class of 1990. Mike Keene in baseball, the class of 85. Bert Mueling in football from back in the class of 84. And the former equipment manager out of the great city of Orr, Dick Collins, is going into the UNK Hall of Fame. 40 years of work there at the University of Nebraska at Kearney.
Yeah, Dick is and still is one of the real staples and one of the great guys that you can have a chance to talk to. And congratulations to Dick. He's and Hainer as well. Those are about the only two that I kind of really know that well.
Well, of course, Aaron Arnold, a big part of the volleyball team. We've had a chance to watch and cover her as well. The homecoming weekend this year is September 25th and 26th, so the Athletic Hall of Fame ceremony is during homecoming weekend on September 25th and 26th. We're going to take a break here from Media Days in Chicago so that we can dive into Nebraska football here early on, and here's some comments from Nebraska football coach Mike Riley, so stay with us.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With 2 locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now at America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire...
Touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some sunshine develop across the area today with a slight chance for a shower storm developing with a high around 92. Southwest winds stay at 5 to 10. Tonight, there's a chance for isolated storms with a low of 65. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 82.
Duck and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live from Big Ten Media Days here in Chicago. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter. We will hear from Nebraska football coach Mike Riley in this segment just moments away. And our coverage of Media Days brought to you by the Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer. A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. We'll take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question. We've got trivia coming up later on in the program. As well, want to remind you that this is the last day to get signed up for the Miller Coors three-person golf scramble at the Kearney Country Club this weekend. Your entry fee gets you golf for both days. Cart is included. Saturday night dinner, Calcutta. It's all part of your entry fee, and you can go out and play a practice round today if you want for a small added fee. And there is a shootout scheduled tonight as well at 6 o'clock as part of the annual Miller Coors three-person golf scramble. Tee off Saturday at 1, Sunday at 10. It's a lot of fun. They'll have a few beverage tickets for you as well from the sponsor. So throw that in as well, and it's almost like free golf.
It is.
Almost. It's going to be a beautiful weekend.
It is going to be a beautiful weekend, and I love the front nine on that course. It's just a lot of fun, and it's a little bit different atmosphere, a little bit more open on the backside. But, boy, you can play the entire round in the shade.
I may have lost a golf ball on almost every hole on that course. Let me think. Yeah, probably every
That's
one of them.
That's how I keep score.
Probably every one of them.
If I come back with, if I find as many as I lose, then that's even par.
I'll probably lose a couple more of them this weekend. But if you'd like to get signed up, contact the Kearney Country Club, give them a buzz or stop out, and have fun this weekend at the Miller Coors Scramble. Well, a lot has been made of the transition here for head coach Mike Riley. Change, Randy, I think, is what we're going to continue to see. There's always, and I've talked about it here on the show this last month while we're getting ready and going through our 14 teams in 14 days, and we talked about it on the roundtable a little bit. When I asked Sean, I said, we go to practice that first day as a state, as a media, as a football team, as a coaching staff, and there's going to be a story. Just like the Ohio State thing broke yesterday, if it hadn't broken, you went to Ohio State practice the first day, you would have noticed that those guys weren't where they were supposed to be. And that is where Sean Callahan brought up the Riker Fife situation, saying he hadn't been around much over the summer. And then you have Coach Riley's comments, and we're going to hear from him. I spoke with him, and Chris Schmidt is in this interview from Hale Varsity from 4 to 6. He was with Damon Benning and Gary Sharp as part of 1620 in Omaha. You've got the ticket from Lincoln was standing there, and myself and Michael Severe from the bottom line. So they kind of did a Nebraska radio potpourri there, and we all threw in a couple of questions. That's what you're going to hear. But Mike Riley is going to make changes, whether they are positive or negative. They are positive in his eyes.
Yes.
But some of them will ruffle feathers of Husker fans. It looks like he's going to trim down the number of players from 140 or whatever it is to 110. You've got that 105 kids that will report to camp next Thursday. And then if there's more of them, they cannot practice with the team until the first day of class. It sounds to me like Coach Riley doesn't want to have to worry about that in the future. That would mean a cut down on walk-ons. Bill Callahan didn't really want anything to do with walk-ons. Bo Pelini brought it back. Everybody does something a little bit different.
And I think he's going to be, between those two coaches, I think it's going to be more in the middle, because Callahan wanted nothing to do with it, washed his hands of it, walked away. We're not really doing the walk-ons. It's kind of dead and buried. And I think now with Coach Riley, it's not going to be as expanded as it was under Pelini, but I think you're going to have maybe a few, like three or four. They're kind of that walk-on. Some of them are going to be preferred, and then some others that are like, we'd like you to stick around a little bit. But the idea of that you're going to get a lot of talent from that bottom 30 on your roster, I think Riley, and he's way too nice of a guy to say it this way, but the thinking is, it's not worth our time. There's resources that we're spending here for not much return on our investment. And that does go against a little bit of the tradition of the Nebraska walk-on program, but in reality, there's not been a ton of players that have kind of come through that, that maybe in the long term, that does make sense. I understand where Riley's coming from, but it is something that's going to impact that walk-on program. Being a Loper fan, I'm okay with that, because it seemed to me there's always been a lot of players in that bottom 30 there that could have gone somewhere and done something with a college football career besides run out of a tunnel.
Well, let's hear from Nebraska's head football coach, Mike Riley, who sat down with the radio boys earlier this morning. He will touch on, as we said, Riker 5. He'll touch on his offense. He'll touch on the offensive line. He'll touch on the departures and how that affects the depth of this football team. He'll touch on the roster that he has, and trying to implement his system with what he's got there. And also, one of the questions, in case you didn't know the story, yesterday, Corey Clement was obviously being recruited by both Nebraska and Wisconsin, and was right on the heels of the Big Ten championship game when Wisconsin rolled Nebraska 70-31, and then he chose Wisconsin. And yesterday, while he was here, he made a comparison about, you know, Nebraska was a flip phone and Wisconsin was the iPhone. And so he went with the iPhone, the more glitzy, the sure, better phone. Mm-hmm. And Coach Riley was asked about that a couple of times today. So here is the interview from the Radio Brethren, starting with Damon Benning and Gary Sharp at 1620 The Zone.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
All right. So instead of the tape Mike Riley, let's do the live Mike Riley.
Okay, let me take this shoe off.
Hey, now you did that to me at practice one day where you're actually like leaning on my shoulder. He says my foot's a little sore, and I said, I think I'm going to like this guy.
You are in a great element here. You are enjoying this. You see some coaches are like, oh, geez, got to go do another TV or radio or in front of 1,000 people. You are completely in your element right now.
I like my job, and I like talking about teams, our team, and it is really, for all of us, it's a very exciting time of our life. You know, I mean, we put a ton of energy into this thing, and it's fun to spread the word about your program, and it's really fun to spread the word about Nebraska.
What do you like right now about where you're at about 8 months into your job?
I think the thing I like the most is the team. You know, I think that this is a good group of guys. I think that one of the interesting things in our world are coaching transitions and, you know, what happens to kids. And I've been impressed with, you know, I think our coaches have done a very nice job in a transition, but really the openness of the kids and the camaraderie within their ranks – I think, has made this thing work at to this point, and it's really been fun to see. There's some quality people, lots of them in this program, and that has been for me the most comforting thing.
Coach, when you take a look at I didn't want to get into assessing talent too much in the spring. I left you alone when you first got here, but now you're to the point where you kind of at least know what's in the cupboard before you make the groceries. How would you assess your talent overall as you start to move into week one of camp?
I think it's good. I think the talent is good. I think that, you know, I think the issues, Damon, are more where we go with the depth of talent at some spots. I'm still thinking of, you know, that, you know, we might have to play more young linebackers than ever in my history because of the depth there. And, you know, so we're going to have to look at this and be a little bit versatile about some positions, how it looks. And then, like at running back, I like the group. I like the talent. Is there a guy that is an every down, every play guy that we just leave in and give the ball to 35 times? That's kind of my history, a career with running backs. That's what we've done. We had Steven Jackson, Kenny Simonton. Those guys all gained 4,000 or 5,000 yards during their careers. And the reason they did it is they were the guy that played every down. Are we ready to do that here? I don't know yet. Fall camp will tell a little bit more. And then at some point, too, when you're getting a team ready and you are coaching, you can't spend too much time thinking about or evaluating how talented are we. It doesn't matter at this point. We have to take what we have, and I think it's a talented group, and do the very best job of coaching these guys as we can with the right stuff. And that's what's more interesting to me. Are we doing the right things with this team?
Coach, what's the biggest thing that you want to see Tommy Armstrong improve on? As a quarterback, as a leader, what's the biggest thing you think of?
This is not just unique to Tommy, but every quarterback can improve decision-making through knowledge of what they're doing. And so, what we have to have Tommy do all the time, and he's very good at it, is study and practice. Study and practice. And that is really what every guy at that position that I've seen grow through the years, that's what they do. They just get better because they get smarter. And they get a little bit more knowledgeable about what this pattern means to that defense and what I need to do with the ball. And they learn to do it faster. Playing fast for a quarterback, you know, is really, really important to being efficient. And making fast decisions is a big, big deal. So that's what he can continue to do, like all the guys.
Coach, staying with the quarterback situation, you always like to have the kids stay on campus. Riker Fife from our area, can you address where he's at right now?
You know, Riker is part of the team right now. The summertime at this point is pretty much voluntary. And what I expect from Riker is a guy that will come into camp, compete for a spot at quarterback. Like I mentioned earlier, Riker might be competing for number two right now, number three right now. There's actually like four guys in this mix. Tommy is right now the starter, and then the other guys, they got to play. And I anticipate Riker being in that group, competing to see where he lands at the end of fall camp.
Coach, let's touch on the offensive line a little bit, and from that depth development plus the experience you have, how do you feel going into this fall camp with what you have at that O-line spot?
I like the offensive line a lot. I think that there appears to be more depth than I've ever been used to, a number of guys that can play in the games. That's what I always look at, you know, is, okay, this is a number of players. Where do you draw the line as to who can actually go in the games and win the game for us, you know? And I think there's 8, 9 guys, 10 guys maybe at that offensive line, Dale, with who we like, you know. And that, in my history, that's been the hardest place to build up that kind of depth and feel good about it. There have been times where we've held our breath with 6 guys for a season that we knew could go in and play.
Mike, Corey Clement from Wisconsin yesterday referred to Nebraska as a flip phone.
Yeah.
Wisconsin as an iPhone. That's what he saw when watching Nebraska get beat by Wisconsin 70-31 as a recruit. And he makes that kind of as a tale of where the two schools are at in the Big Ten West. I mean, when you hear something like that, how do you feel like Nebraska is in that analogy?
What kind of cell phone
technology do you have?
Well, people would probably say I'm a flip phone guy, you know, in my knowledge of technology. But I'm not surprised at this time of year that somebody's got something to say about something like that. That is, but you know, I think that you know, this is going to just be, for me, very, very interesting how this all plays out. You know, one of my best friends in the world is coaching at Wisconsin, so we'll be playing against them. It'll be crazy to do that, but also a lot of fun.
You expect some flip phones to be in Memorial Stadium?
Yeah, there might be. There might be. They might see some of that. So we'll see. It's kind of the fun of what leads into a college football season.
Coach, do you think it's interesting, and you figured out right away that The as fans here, we probably think we're pretty smart, that you get the sense that you're going to round peg square hole this offense, or you don't really have experience in terms of cutting and pasting what works for you in the past versus what you have talent-wise. There's an inordinate amount of concern that you haven't done this for 40 years.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is the transition, and what we have to remember about coaching, it's not necessarily, I said it earlier today, it's not necessarily what you want to do. It's what's going to be best to do with the people that you have. And like I said, talent levels, we don't even have to talk about that or what, but what they do and what they can do, that's coaching. You know, when I first started coaching, I coached in the secondary, and I coached different styles of corners, which was interesting to me. I learned as I coached, you know, and I coached two great guys in the Canadian League, two all-pro corners, and I was a young DB coach at the time. One of them was a guy up in your face, press on the line of scrimmage, run down the sideline with you, play the ball through the hands. The other guy played about 10 yards off. He was a veteran, played for a long time, had been a pro, all-pro player for a long time. Two totally different styles. Very important that they could play how they played the best within the scheme of what you wanted to do. So that's what coaching is looking at those people, putting them in the best place to have success. And that is probably really the key issue for us at quarterback, being careful about what we select to do from our past and what we want to do that's new to us but maybe not new to the quarterback in the future.
What do you like that you've done in recruiting since you've been here, and when do you expect a resolution on the young man you had on campus last week?
Well, the resolution for that, I hope, is very soon, and I can confirm we're recruiting him. But, you know, I think that this year's recruiting is, at this point, very, very positive, really positive. We had a great June, pretty good July, and we are almost like three-quarters of the way through the commitments for the year. And I know those are fluid, right? Yeah. Those are commitments. And I know that, you know, the nothing's signed on the ink that's, you know, that it's going to come in February. Mm-hmm. That I understand all that, but I think we're in a good place. I actually like these spots left for us that we can examine what we need from our team and then look at, you know, what's out there during the recruiting during the season and see what we really need heading into the signing date. So I think we're in great shape.
Coach, if I could tell you something that fans want to see. They want to see the tight end really involved in the offense. Yeah. I've never done it before. As a New Orleans native, I'm really pulling for Seathan Carter.
Yeah.
Do you think that we'll see the tight end get more involved?
You know, I think that in my history, we've had great production from tight ends. I think, you know, as you develop a passing game, I think, and you use tight ends, I think their production is really important to the kind of coverages you're going to see. If you've got a weapon at tight end that can catch the ball and hurt a defense, then You know, then defenses have to decide, are we going to double cover that outside guy that's out there, or are we going to double cover the tight end? You know, so do you play with a shell over the tight end with the safety and a linebacker covering him, or do you move that safety out and cover the wide receiver? The more effective your tight end is, the more of a quandary you put the defense in. And that's just a simple way to look at it. That's why I think the tight end as a weapon is really important, has always been important to our offense. Now, how that develops at Nebraska, will that's part of our process and what we're going to have to find out during the fall camp.
Coach, everybody disciplines a little bit differently. You've had some players dismissed and left the football team.
Yeah.
As far as the positions, wide receiver, linebacker, yeah, are you concerned at all what some of those departures mean depth-wise?
Yes, I am. You know, I think that we have depleted the receiver core a little bit, and one of the hardest parts about that is actually practicing, right? That is a position. If you watch any football camp anywhere, probably the first group that starts to go downhill in a camp with tweaks, not necessarily big injuries, but with a, you know, a hamstring or some kind of a muscle pull, it's the wide receivers. So we've depleted that group a little bit, so we're pretty right now functional. And we just, and if we lose anybody, it will hurt us during our fall camp. So we're looking at the 105 that we'll bring into our, that we're allowed to bring in. We're trying to get enough receivers to feel good about that. And, but yes, that has created an issue at depth, at least going, I don't think depth playing in the games, because I think, you know, we've got 6-7 wide receivers I think are capable of being in the game right now, which is good. But just practicing is another issue that we'll have to deal with here.
Coach, you've got a little vacation. You've done a lot of recruiting. Have you had a chance to check out BYU yet?
Yeah, we have. You know, that was one of our last deals in June, is that we spent BYU time, you know, with our coaching staff studying them and basically putting together a shell of a game plan for that game.
And I got one more for you. You know, these players went through losing two of their last three games, three of their last four, and a coaching change. And how hard was it early on? How has it been to get them to trust you? And can you just kind of make a statement from where their mentality was, from a fragile point of view, to whatever it is right now?
Well, I think transitioning for players is hard. You know, they've lost the people that they've relied on, that recruited them, that coach them. And then I told them that right off the bat. I just let off with it. I know this is not an easy deal for them. They don't know me or the staff, and we don't know them. And I said, you know what, that's not going to change overnight either. This is a process that takes place over a long period of time. So the building up of the – one of the great things about our profession is that player-coach relationship, one of the things that got us into it in the first place, right? So – you know, that's just what we do. It's going to take time. I think it's been great. I give them credit for having an open mind. I also give our staff credit, because I know they're good people and they're going to work with people well. So I have a real strong confidence this thing will only grow. It's never a finished product, but I think that the players have been awesome in kind of having that open mind. Because I told them, too, the other thing they're going to find is things will be different. People are different. You know, how we approach things might be different. It's just going to be different. So have some patience with it. Have an open mind. And the one thing I told them, when we do something, whether it's football or in what we believe in a program, the rules and behavior that are expected, the one thing they can rest assured is that has been thought about a lot. Yeah, there's been this isn't just an idea that just came into my head. We have thought about this stuff a lot. So at least you have find a little comfort.
Nebraska head football coach Mike Riley from Big Ten Media Days here in Chicago. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you. Coach sat down with a variety of radio guys instead of doing them one at a time, and we talked a lot about this yesterday. The new format here has been different for all of the live radio shows out here. So Nebraska just sitting us all down, and about six of us able to ask a couple of questions each and hear from Coach Riley for about 15 minutes as I asked him about Ryker Fife and asked him about the departed players and the depth on the football team. Others asked him about the comment from Corey Clement. Others asked him about the way the offensive line looked. He had others, Damon Benning, asking him about the pieces fitting in the right places. You run a certain system and recruit players to that certain system. Now you come to a new place and maybe those kids aren't up to the task of doing what you want to do. How much do you have to adjust? So a lot going on there. And Coach also said that everybody right now of the newcomers are eligible. There's some great issues out there with a couple of kids, but it looks like most everything should be in order. But that doesn't mean there won't be a few surprises when August 6th rolls around.
And obviously a lot of transitions with the new coaching staff, but we have, he's been around long enough that now that transition is moving from, you know, how are you going to coach? What are you going to play hurry up? Or, you know, what kind of defense are you going to do? We've kind of moved from most of those questions to now we can kind of get down to that next level. You know, we've moved to the next level where we're kind of talking about individual players, individual moments, individual things. And obviously by the time we get the first game, after the first game, we're going to have a real good idea what this football team looks like. But until then, it's going to be a lot of stuff in flux.
It's going to be an interesting season, and you say that overall, and Randy, then it becomes, after those first two games, you get a vibe of where you're headed. There's no doubt about it. We were talking earlier today, and again, I referenced to some of the things. If you've listened to every show, we thank you so much for that. When games are big, when they're not, Iowa game's big, Iowa game's big. Iowa game's not big until you get into November.
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk about how competitive the Iowa game will be, but if one team is headed one way and the other one has something to play for, or it just doesn't matter, it takes luster off the game. Maybe somebody's had the wheels fall off a little bit. Maybe somebody's playing better than expected, and not just Iowa, but a variety of these games. One of the teams you think's not going to be very good all of a sudden is good. You know, those are a lot of things that you've got to look over.
If the Nebraska-Iowa game, one of them's 7-5, the other one's 5-7, there just isn't a whole lot there. You know, that's not very exciting stuff at all. If there's something to play for. To me, the one I've got circled now, because there's so many questions, you don't know what the team is going to look like, is the very first game. And you're always excited about the first game, but Nebraska is playing an opponent that can beat them, that can come into Lincoln and beat Nebraska. And that's true of most years, actually. And this year, especially since we really don't know what Nebraska is going to look like, the BYU game is going to be huge because we know what they look like. We're going to have an idea of their talent level, where their depth's going to be at certain positions, you know, all that stuff. I don't know if we'll find out who the number two quarterback is unless something happens to Armstrong. But you have – there's going to be a lot of questions that need to be answered between now and when the Huskers take the field game one.
Doug and Daddy's show from Big Ten Media Days brought to you by Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee. Coming up, we'll hear from Nebraska safety Nate Gary. We'll hear from defensive lineman Drew Ott of Iowa, of Giltner, of Trumbull. We'll talk with Drew. We'll also talk with the Indiana quarterback Nate Sudfeld, and we're expected to be joined live by Joel Klatt, who has been elevated to lead analyst for the Fox College Television games this year. Charles Davis, who had been a friend of the program, and then his cousin quit the program, and so he wasn't as much a friend of the program, but we've talked to Charles quite a few times. He's been moved from the college to the pro ranks, so you'll see him on Sunday NFL games this year, and Joel Klatt, the former Colorado quarterback, will move in to the lead analyst role. We can get his view of the Big Ten as a whole and maybe nationally, where the perception has definitely changed over the last 4 years since Nebraska has joined the conference. Obviously, with a national champion, that will help change the perception of the conference. We'll take a break here from Chicago. Be back with more after this.
Take the route to summer savings at Garrett Tires and Treads. The Fusion Touring Tire provides a quiet ride, combining value and comfort, as low as $44.95 for the 185/60R14 size. Firestone Precision Touring Tires provide great traction and high mileage and are $100 off a set of four. Drive into Garrett Tires and Treads now and save. Free offer ends August 31st. Find out more savings at Garrett-Tire.com.
Garrett Guarantee. Garrett Tires and Treads.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects, resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
You've taught your son everything, from fishing to hunting, baseball to football. You're the man. He looks up to you to teach him all the great things in life.
But have you taught him that real men don't abuse women?
This is one of the most important talks a man can ever have with his son.
Teach, talk, listen, lead.
To learn more about how to start this conversation, log on to sassacenter.org for resources. This message supported by funds awarded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Jones, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you on the program today. Live from Big Ten Media Days here in Chicago, it is day number two. Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter. And in a moment, we're going to chat with defensive lineman Drew Ott out of Giltner, now plays for the Iowa Hawkeyes, of course, and was and is on the preseason player to watch list in the Big Ten that we talked about yesterday. The Huskers had two in DeMornay Personnel and also Malik Collins. Drew Ott was on there in the West Division. Just 11 total players from the entire conference, and those are three of them right there. When you have the national champs in and Michigan State, two teams in the top six in the coaches' poll, it's neat to make that list.
It certainly is, and that says a lot about where Nebraska's program potentially can end up. I mean, there are some skilled players out there that can really make some things happen, and Wisconsin's pretty well represented. But again, I think the door is open for Nebraska to come through and play in the Big Ten championship game. Tough task to play probably Ohio State, and if it isn't Ohio State, it's going to be Michigan State, and if it is Michigan State, it'd be Penn State. You know, a Nebraska-Penn State matchup would be awesome, and obviously if Penn State's in that championship game, it proves that they're better than we think they are. But the point is, I think Nebraska can win their division. That next step is going to be very, very difficult for them to take.
And remember, we did speak with Drew yesterday before he ate the raw egg, shell and all, as something for Bleacher Report. And it's made it all over the place, social media, in all the newspapers. And so we spoke with Drew before that. Then when we get done hearing our interview with Drew, we'll dump into our Fanatics Friday Trivia, a $25 gift card coming up, 888-455-ESPN. Remember, or write the number down, 888-455-3776. After the Drew Ott interview, we'll have our Fanatics Fantastic Friday Trivia. talk a little Iowa football and Nebraska football at the same time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, and welcoming back to the program, Drew Ott, looking good here at Media Days with the suit, the tie, but that's not the way he looks on the field. I remember him walking off the field when we were over there for the Iowa-Nebraska game the day after Thanksgiving. Obviously, probably a little upset at the time, but just a different look. Drew, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, and good to talk to you face-to-face instead of on the phone for once.
Yep. Put a face to the voice now for all these years.
Tell me a little bit about, because everybody wants to bring up Giltner, and I can only tell you that everybody is so, the smile comes on their face every time, whether it's Drew Ott or another one of the Giltner athletes that have done so many good things. In fact, your coach Lockman in track got a state award this year for being the boys at the track coach of the year in the entire state. So you've got some good people back there at Giltner. How much do you relish having all of that in your – I mean, this isn't Omaha rooting for you or Kearney rooting for you. This is Giltner, Nebraska. Everybody knows your name. I know we talked about it a couple, 3 years ago, but how much pride do you take in that?
I mean, a lot of pride. I mean, I love going home, loving going back, seeing all those people. I mean, Coach Ashby, I mean, he helped me a lot, like getting recruited and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know where I'd be without him. So, a lot of credit goes to those people and helping me get raised, so.
One thing that's kind of impressive to me is how much the Iowa football program has embraced grabbing some eight-man players, because you're not the only one that comes from those smaller schools that is doing a lot of great things for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I mean, Reese Morgan, he recruits over Nebraska. I mean, he goes into the small towns and finds us kids like this and gives us an opportunity, so it's nice.
Of course, Bajada, we talked earlier in the week about that in there as well from Hal's Dodge. You two have kind of been connected, obviously, going to Iowa. Did you have any advice? Do they ask you a little bit about the eight-man game? Did you have any advice about, hey, you know what? You got me. There's more of me to be found out there?
I mean, they talked to me about them, but, I mean, I think they had their minds made up. I mean, they know what they're doing. They're a lot better recruiters than I am. So, I mean, they've seen it a lot more years, so.
You know, we make a lot of, when you play Nebraska and that. You had a nice game against the Huskers. Didn't turn out the way you wanted it to in terms of it getting away in overtime. But four tackles against the Huskers last year, is that one of those things? Do you play a little harder? Is there something special there?
He might have walked into the end zone, too.
Yeah. Don't bring up that memory, right?
For us.
I mean, no, I play hard every game, but, I mean, it's a little more exciting, I guess, I would say. Maybe, I don't know. It's always good to play the home state. A lot more people come to those games, probably more for Nebraska, but, I mean, they talk to me afterwards. So.
But there's not a chip on the shoulder that you really kind of want to prove to the Huskers coaching staff, which is no more there, that they were wrong for not going after you harder?
No, I think I've let that go. I let that go a long time ago. I mean, I'm really happy at Iowa, so, I mean, it's been a great fit for me, so I thank them.
Iowa Hawkeye Drew Ott from Giltner joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Trumbull, Giltner High School. Iowa, we talked about Scherf and some of the other guys that were kind of the face of the program last year, obviously by you being here at Big Ten Media Days and as one of the top players on the players to watch list. Now you're the face at Iowa. Is that okay? Something you embrace? I mean, you're not a rah-rah guy, so how do you take all that in?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine for me. I have no problem. Just try to be a leader by example, I would say. Just try to do the little things right. So, I mean, I think that's more of my approach. I mean, not too much of a screamer or anything like that. So,
I remember last year talking to Brandon, and he complimented you and the fact that he was getting better playing against you. Obviously, your opportunity now to kind of talk about a guy that was a first-round draft pick in the NFL. How did he make you better, and are you still kind of maintaining that relationship?
No, we haven't talked too much since he's been in minicamps, but – yeah, he was just a great player. I mean, he made me come to work every day and made me learn my technique. I mean, because I wasn't going to beat him with athleticism. So just really had to hone in on my skills and get better.
Drew Ott joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So conversely, who are the young guys coming up that's taking his spot that you're going to be working in spring that you did and you will be against fall that maybe we'll hear his name coming this fall for the Hawks?
Yeah, I've been going against Boone Meyer in spring ball. I mean, he's a good competitor. I mean, he's a hard worker. I mean, he's up and coming. He'll do a good job of replacing Sheriff. So, I mean, he should be a go-getter.
I'm curious. We've been kind of talking about Chicago and Chicago pizza and that sort of thing. Have you had an opportunity? And I want to have you compare it with what you get at the Sitting Bowl in Giltner. Yeah,
I haven't had any pizza yet. I mean, we just got in last night, so I'll have to try it out tonight.
Drew out with us for just another couple minutes, and we'll let him get on down Radio Row here. When we talk Big Ten football, and we've been talking it all month, getting ready to come to Chicago, Iowa's always the toughest team to figure out. Before you arrived, while you're there, you think maybe this is a team that can win the division, and they stub their toe a couple times. Or this year, you're kind of picked in the middle of the pack. You may rise to the very top and win the West. Everybody has confidence in their football team. Why should we have confidence in Iowa this year?
Have confidence in us because we're going to be detail-oriented this year. We're going to get things done, and we're going to finish this year. I think we got a hungry bunch, and I think everyone's looking for a little redemption. I mean, I know last three years here, I mean, it's kind of been a letdown, and I think everyone's ready to have a good season.
Where do you see the rest of the division? I'm not necessarily saying where Iowa fits in it, but where do you kind of see the rest of the division? Are there some games that you have kind of circled in your mind you can't wait to play those guys?
I'm playing Wisconsin, up in Wisconsin. I think that's our opener. I mean, that should be a fun game. Should be pretty exciting. So be a good measuring stick for where we're at.
And Drew, a lot of guys when they're the senior year, everything last time. NFL, what happens after this year? How do you view your senior year besides being the best you can be? You mentioned Wisconsin. Are there a couple of things you're looking forward to on the field? And are you also thinking about what's going to happen after that bowl game this year?
Yeah, I mean, on the field, I mean, I'm excited to play in Ames this year. Excited to go to Camp Randall this year. I've never been there, so, I mean, that'll be all new things and exciting. And then wrap up the season in Lincoln, so should be good.
Well, Doug was kind of talking about last things. Last time you're going to be playing for Iowa, barring the bowl game, but the last regular season game will be in Lincoln. Would you rather be in Kinnick, or is it kind of nice to be a little bit closer to home? Because I'm sure there's going to be a nice following from Central Nebraska. They'll be wearing a little bit of yellow and black.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather be in Kinnick. I mean, that is my home now, so. But, I mean, it should be exciting. I mean, a lot more people should come there, so hopefully we can turn the stadium yellow.
Any last messages for the folks at home and those back in Nebraska? Anything you want to say to them as you get ready for the season?
Go Hawkeyes.
Nothing better than that.
That keeps it simple.
Hey, you can be undefeated when you come to Lincoln the day after Thanksgiving. That would be awesome. Drew, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again later on in the season. But thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Always the best. Have a great senior season.
Thank you.
Thanks, Drew.
That's Drew Ott here on the Doug and Daddy Show, part of our Big Ten Media Day coverage. And he was, again, kind of the darling yesterday. He was everywhere, and he could have been playing for Ohio State. He was everywhere. He's got just a little, maybe quirkiness is the right word. He's got a little bit of something different than most of the guys here. They're all great. They're all great to talk to. It's hard to believe sometimes when you watch them out there destroying each other, what they've got going on outside of the athletic field of competition. And man, this guy's got it going on. Our Big Ten Media Days brought to you in part by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of Central and Western Nebraska. As we go into break, we're expecting to chat with Joel Klatt. He is a Fox Sports college football national analyst and supposed to be here very shortly, so we'll look forward to talk to him. We will hear from Nebraska safety Nate Gary coming up. We will hear from Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, and we'll also hear from Indiana quarterback Nate Sudfeld, all coming up in the next hour. Nate will be giving one of the two keynote speeches here, him and they for this year. They've done it with a couple of different players, Josh Perry of Ohio State, and him will be giving the keynote speech. So we'll talk with Nate Sudfeld again. Indiana still hasn't played Nebraska since joining the conference and won't again this year. But that's some of what's coming up. But right now, let's do it. Our Fanatics Friday quiz as you get ready to head into your lunch hour. 888-455-ESPN. That's the number, 888-455-3776. One winner per household every 3 months. One winner per household every 3 months. So if you know the correct answer, give us a buzz. The first correct answer will also pick up a $25 gift card to Fanatics, where you can watch college and pro football all season long. You want to do your fantasy draft? They've got room for you at Fanatics with their great handcrafted pizza, wide variety of appetizers, ice-cold beverages, and the bullpen, their outdoor beer garden, where you can also watch TV, kick back, relax, and enjoy the beautiful weather, kind of like we did here in Chicago last night. It was perfect. So here is your trivia question on Fanatics Friday Trivia. Nebraska, it's all about getting to that bowl game, as we were talking about with Drew Ott. Nebraska has played in 51 bowl games. 51 bowl games. How many has Nebraska won? Nebraska has played in 51 bowl games. How many of those have Nebraska won? 888-455-ESPN. First correct caller gets the $25 gift card, and we'll be back to Chicago in Big Ten Media Days after this.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Funner Park.
Make it your weekend of great food and action entertainment at Funner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Bet on the best thoroughbred racing from 21 tracks. Play Keno. Enjoy delicious lunch and dinner specials and full bar service. Non-stop action continues to Twilight Racing and the Prime Rib Special. Then on Sunday, Triple Crown winner American Pharoah takes on the $1 million Haskell Invitational at Monmouth Park. Great weekend of food and fun at the Finish Line.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get fresh center-cut smoked pork chops, only $3.98 a pound. An 8-ounce portion of boneless Alaskan salmon fillets, only $2.95 each. And deli fresh homemade potato salad, only $1.49 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Doug and Danny Show live from Chicago and Big Ten Media Days. Doug Guder, Randy Bushcutter with you, brought to you in part by Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee. Congratulations to Tyler from Amherst. He was the winner of our Fanatics trivia quiz.
Well, good for him. That's always, he's got a nice little meal and a nice little evening.
Good job,
for him. He's got it taken care of.
Good job, Shockey. Did you bring Bob back lunch today?
I didn't, because Bob ran there yesterday. Well, here, take mine. I'll run back over. It's a good exercise because it's always over there.
Hamer's ordered out today. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, congratulations. The answer to our Fanatics Friday trivia quiz, Nebraska's been in 51 bowl games. How many of them have they won? As you kind of would expect, it's a 50-50 deal. Right now, they're one below. Even with
really
the,
25, huh?
Yeah, 25 and 26 for the Big Red,
and that's even with that Gotham Bowl win, which was huge.
Well, back in
about 62.
We almost beat USC last year. It's amazing the USC. Oh, that big bowl win they had last year. They're really pumping that up for Sarkisian out of Pac-12 Media Days.
Well, again, it's a bowl, and it's against a pretty good program, pretty good name. You need to build your momentum wherever you can find it.
Coming up, Nate Gary, safety for the Huskers. We're also anticipating Joel Klatt joining us here from Fox Sports sometime in the next hour. But the big luncheon is about ready to begin here. This is a huge deal. One of the things that I haven't totally grasped since joining the Big Ten, there's a lot of these traditions and things that are going on. It's a cool deal, but it's a hoity-toity type of deal, too. I mean, a normal fan getting, but it's like $100 a ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's not a normal fan.
It's
$100 to watch a game is one thing. $100 to have a sandwich is
another.
But
it's kind of worth it, because if you're a fan and you don't have I mean, we're walking around here and we're used to seeing all the coaches, all the players chatting with some of them, media guys.
Yeah.
This is not what the normal fan gets to do. All 14 coaches, will be up there talking about their team with Dave Revson and the Big Ten folks that will be there. And then you'll get to hear the speeches from Perry of Ohio State and Nate Sudfeld, who we're going to talk to here momentarily from Indiana, the starting quarterback there. And it's just a different it's a big banquet deal that you would expect to see on a Friday or Saturday night for your team at different venues. But it's what they do differently here at Big Ten Media Days.
And it's kind of neat to see the players, too, because a lot of times when you see, you know, the football players, they're in all their football garb. You can't really see their faces, you really kind of get an idea. And not only just the players for your team or maybe the opponent, but everybody in the conference. I mean, a tremendous number of talented young men, and you really get the idea of some size. Seeing Armstrong walk by today, for example, I realized just how bigger he's gotten since last season. I mean, you see him after a game last year. I think he, to my eye, looks like a much bigger player. And again, that's one of those things you can pick up when you get to see him in person.
Maturity is a big thing.
Yeah.
To remember, and I'm not talking about you. Folks, fans have to remember, I mean, they hammered Taylor Martinez, and then they kind of hammered Tommy because he maybe wasn't as good right out. I mean, Martinez was as good a freshman as Tommy Frazier was when they got in there to play freshman. The things that he did, the way that the opened their eyes. Now, don't go all haywire and crazy. Taylor Martinez isn't better than Frazier. You know, as a freshman, maybe.
The hype around him, Martinez, his freshman year, was huge. I don't think there's ever been a player, Frazier included, that had that level of hype around him. I mean, people were talking, you know, he could win Heisman, and maybe even a couple of them. I mean, and that really wasn't what people said for Frazier that freshman year, and we know how well his career went after that. It obviously tracked higher than what Martinez did, but Martinez as a freshman, that the sky was the limit. I mean, people were very, very, very high on him.
And getting back to your point on Armstrong, this is where you make that jump. You know, you kind of try to figure out where you should be going as a freshman. Then you've been thrown into playing, and then you're a sophomore, and you start to make – well, now he's got that comfort level, that aura about him, walked in the confidence. We heard during spring and a little bit when we're talking with our analysts and the guys that see him every day. And again, when you're one of only three Big Ten quarterbacks, considering what you've got in the Big Ten, that is up for the Manning Award, that's something.
And it, to me, with Armstrong, is you see his growth both physically and with his confidence level. I don't think you really can shake his confidence as you could earlier on in his career. And part of that is maturity. Part of that is success. Part of that is building a resume. You know, all that stuff kind of works together with that. But I think very highly of the quarterback for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. I think Tommy Armstrong is going to be a very good player by the time it's all said and done.
Joel Klatt coming up next here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and then we'll hear from Nate Gary, Nebraska safety, comments from Jim Harbaugh as well.
Catching up with Indiana quarterback Nate Sudfeld, who's got more to do than just talk to the media while he's here in Chicago. But, Nate, thanks for some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and how eager are you for football? Sometimes they're not eager for fall ball, but you're eager for football. How do you balance that?
Yeah, I can't wait to finally get out on the field, and I'm excited for fall camp because I think there's a lot of work we have to do, getting on the same page, receivers, quarterbacks, kind of everybody tuning up their skills. So I think there's a lot of work to do, but I'm excited.
How does an Indiana program keep worrying about themselves without looking at the big picture of how difficult the East is with the defending national champ, Michigan State, in the top 10? How do you make sure you just kind of keep the blinders on?
I think it's important just to keep everything in-house, to worry about what you can control, said often, but it's so true. And a lot of guys on the team just need to understand their roles and work their best at them and things like that. So, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, and people need to not listen to the hype because, I mean, the hype's great for getting fans excited about the season, but ultimately in performance it doesn't do anything except probably make it negative. So
there's so many interesting stories with athletes, whether they're football or basketball, volleyball, whatever. Talk about a couple of the things in your youth. You make the trip across country over to Uganda, how that has helped mature you as a college student athlete.
Yeah, it's been incredible. From a young age, just shaping my worldview like I did, kind of seeing, hey, the world's bigger than my California bubble at the time, and then understanding that there's there's real issues going on in the world, and that everybody can help, and you don't have to help everyone, but you can at least help one person, and that means a lot. So it's definitely giving me a good perspective, and I'm very appreciative of it.
Indiana quarterback Nate Sudfeld with us. So you have the honor of being one of the keynote speakers at the Big Ten Luncheon in Nebraska. We know all about it with Amir Abdullah last year. Can you give us a little insight into your speech?
So first of all, Amir did great last year. I've watched his speech. I was there last year, and then I watched it a bunch of times preparing for mine. So, he did a great job. But, kind of talking about just, what it means to me to play in the Big Ten and kind of the experiences I've had and things like that.
Your brothers both played ahead of you, different spots, doing different things. Still, obviously, one playing at the next level. How much do you lean on them, and how much of your experience can you say, hey, thanks to what you've taught me?
Yeah, growing up, 4.5 years younger than them, they're twins. I always wanted to be like them. I always wanted to make them proud and things like that. So when one went to Brown, one went to Nevada, I knew, hey, I want to play college football. And I was always their quarterback in the front yard because they were a receiver and tight end. So it kind of just worked out that way. And, still to this day, I got to make sure I'm communicating with them, making sure they're good. And that I still get most of my advice from them and my dad. And so, they're still very instrumental in my life, and they're doing great things for themselves as well.
Tell me a little bit about a California kid trying to get Indiana to the next level.
That's why I came out here. That's why I did this, and I love everything about Indiana, and I'm excited to take us to that next level, and I think we've got all the pieces. It just is up to me and up to a lot of the guys on the team to take us to that next level and be consistent.
Some of the other guys were talking about up-tempo, keeping it going. Tell me a little bit about your offense and what you think will be different about this year.
I think this year we'll be more balanced than we were last year. Obviously, after I got hurt, Tevin Coleman blew up the world, kind of just running all over like Amir and Melvin. Big Ten running backs were incredible. But I think we'll be very balanced. We got Jordan Howard and Devine Redding really stepping up as running backs. And then the receiving core is rejuvenated, doing really well. O-line is incredible. So we're really looking forward to putting points on the board and things like that.
And how are you?
Sorry?
And how are you right now, health-wise and ready
health-wise.
To go?
Oh, feeling great. Feeling absolutely great. So I'm really looking forward to getting that first hit out of the way and getting going.
Indiana quarterback Nate Sudfeld, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Nate Sudfeld here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Big Ten Media Days. And again, if you're watching on the Big Ten Network, you'll be able to see Nate and Josh Perry give the players' speech. Amir Abdullah did it last year. As Nate said, he watched Amir's speech to get some pointers. Kirk Cousins really set the world on fire here a few years ago when he gave it. It's a big deal.
It is. It is a tremendous honor. You think about all the players that each university can choose from to bring to Chicago. You have a roster of 120 players. You pick three. Break that down even more. Now that you've got 42 players, one from each school, of those 42 players, who's the one or two that's going to give a speech? That's the elite of the elite. It is a tremendous honor. And again, Amir Abdullah last year really acquitted himself very well. It was a great speech he gave a year ago. And Nate will do the same thing. Very interesting guy. Very thoughtful guy.
Indiana picked at the bottom of the East, the toughest of the divisions. They're going to have their work cut out for them this year.
Yeah, you can be a pretty good football team and be last place in the Big Ten East because it is solid. People talk so much about which conference is better, this conference, that conference, SEC, blah, blah, blah. And what usually people drive that by is the lead sled dog, that's pulling the rest of the pack along. The SEC is really good because they've got Alabama. Well, if you take a look at top to bottom, the entire conference or the entire division, the Big Ten East is going to rate up there pretty well because Indiana, I don't think they're going to have a winning record, but they're going to be a pretty good football team. They're going to be a pretty good football team that's going to end up a game or two under 500.
Coming up, Joel Klatt, lead analyst for Fox College Football this year. And folks, if you are looking for a little lunch in Hastings, Big Dally's Deli is there to take care of you. Two locations, 610 East South Street and downtown Hastings, one right across from Duncan Field, where a lot of folks enjoyed
the bazillion sandwiches. You might have been at the Legion baseball tournament all week, maybe had 5 or 10 of them, or your whole crew took a part of it in a couple of days, and you can get them so many different ways with their outstanding homemade bread. Maybe you want to get a little wrap or a bun with it, cheese, fresh veggies, the condiments you want. And, of course, when it comes to their side items, you've got a lot to choose from. It's like,
drinking of fries.
No, not at Big Daddy's Deli. You can get the potato salad, chips, fruit cups, side salad, great homemade soup, cup or bowl. Maybe you just want to go in and say, you know what, I want a bowl of soup and a little bit of dessert here, cookies, pie, whatever it is. It's all there for you at Big Daddy's, who also, for those special occasions, and how many times do we have the group party together to watch college football, they'll put together a meat and cheese tray or extra big sandwiches just for you. Big Daddy's Deli, home of a bazillion and one sandwiches, because too many is better than not enough. We'll be back to Chicago with Joel Klatt of Fox Sports and Big Ten Media Days, Nate Gary of the Huskers, and a whole lot more after this.
ESPN Superstation Sports Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, a Sports Center update on ESPN. Well, Big Ten Media Days continues today in Chicago as Nebraska head coach Mike Riley took to the stage this morning. The former Oregon State head coach says one challenge this season will be adjusting to the style of football being played in the Big Ten Conference.
In general, what we've done is look at the overall picture of things we're going to see. How many, you know, four-man front defenses are we going to see? How many three-man front defenses are we going to see? What are the lead coverages that we see in general? And then put that into the practice plan. You know, and then offensively, how many spread teams are we going to see? How many, standard pro-style offenses are we going to see? What are we going to have to look at here as we go through it? And then that's what's important about how you install and what you do in camp, because you got to get a little bit of all that stuff in camp so it doesn't become brand new when you do get into game week.
In other Husker news, Wisconsin lost a four-star recruit yesterday, and Nebraska gained one. 5'8", 200-pound running back Jordan Stevenson of Dallas is coming to Nebraska. Stevenson signed with the Badgers in February, but found out last week that he was denied admission. Stevenson rushed for 2,511 yards and 31 touchdowns as a senior last year at South Oak Cliff High School. He also considered Miami and Alabama. Stevenson will be in Lincoln to start fall camp next week. He is eligible to play this season. Riley Reinertsen out of Gibbon birdied the final two holes to win the 107th Nebraska Amateur Championship yesterday at the Indian Creek Golf Course in Elkhorn. Reinertsen finished with a four-day total of 286, one stroke in front of Jose Vega out of Bellevue. Michael Colgate out of Kearney tied for 16th with a 295. Reed Wiebe out of Sutton tied for 30th with a 302. And that's a sports update on ESPN. I'm Mike Will.
We like football.
There's only one thing you guarantee, man, and that is 60 minutes of hard-nosed physical football.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
Doug and Daddy's show, live for Big Ten Media Days here on ESPN Radio in Nebraska. Glad to have you along with us, Doug, due to Randy Bushcutter. And coming up, we'll talk with Joel Klatt of Fox Sports. We'll hear from Nate Gary of the Huskers and a lot more as we have had a good run here so far today. And it will continue on to this afternoon. We'll bring you back some special guests that we'll talk to next week. A couple of them that we're not going to get to live here today and tomorrow. And there's a couple I want to make sure that we bring back that were really good. Ted Karras from Illinois.
Mongo was his great uncle. Yeah. Mongo.
He was the dad in Webster. That's how I'll go with it.
Okay.
But
right.
Alex Karras. Yeah. But that was so long ago. I mean, Nate or Ted really, you know, hardly even knew his great uncle. But
right.
The Karras family, seven of them, all uncles, dads, great uncles, were all coaches. And he's playing for the Fighting Illini.
And one of the things that he said that I thought was really interesting, he says, well, why Illinois? He said, well, that's one of the schools in the Big Ten that a member of the family hasn't played for yet. Okay.
So, and Dick Butkus went there. So we'll talk with him. We'll also hear from some of the great athletes at Minnesota, who will probably be one of the scariest games for Nebraska all season long. If we have time, we're going to get to one of them here before the end of the show. Quarterback Mitch Leidner, a defensive end Therian Cochran, and Brianne Boddy Calhoun, a defensive back who is really the leader of this defense, and even Cochran, who was outstanding, said that.
Yeah, and very energetic guy, very personable guy, very outgoing. So he's one of my favorite kids that you kind of met out here. And so, you know, I could hang out with that guy.
Big Ten Media Days brought to you in part by the Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer. A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. We'll also hear some comments from Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh. We've got Joe Bolden of Michigan. He's going to be a great one to hear from as well. Jordan Lomax of Iowa. There's just some good guys that we've had a chance to talk to, and we'll be bringing some of those back over the next couple of weeks as the Huskers get into camp, everybody gets into camp, and things start to happen.
And Harbaugh, I will assure people, was more talkative than he was in the interview with Colin Cowherd. You know, so we got something out of it. There's something worth listening to there.
A couple of other notes while we wait for Joel Klatt to slide down here from earlier today. Again, congratulations to Riley Reinertsen winning the Nebraska men's amateur out of Gibbon and now at the University of Oklahoma. Also, all Husker fans and everybody listening to this knows about Jordan Stevenson. He commits to Nebraska. Not a whole lot Coach Mike Riley can say except they were pursuing him. So, but that's a pretty big deal. He didn't get into Wisconsin because of their entrance. It's hard to believe that anybody's entrance level with all the academic All-Americans at Nebraska is any higher that's not in the Ivy League or Notre Dame or Northwestern.
I think you're being undermined a little bit by your admissions department when that happens, because there's nothing on his resume that stands up and says why that young man should be able to go to Wisconsin or Michigan or any school in the Big Ten. And Big Ten academic standards are higher than most conferences in terms of being able to come in. And schools themselves obviously can set individual school elements with that. Let's just say this. If the admissions department wanted Wisconsin football to be better, he'd be in there, and they wouldn't really have to bend any rules, I don't think. I mean, he's academically ready to roll. He fits the standard. That's why he can play pretty much anywhere. But for whatever reason, Wisconsin, just the admissions department, I think, hung him out to dry.
Well, and yesterday Coach Christ of Wisconsin was asked a little bit about that, and specifically Stevenson. He and Mike Riley are very, very good friends, and basically the comment was, I'm glad he ended up at a place like Nebraska with Coach Riley and what they have.
Yeah, and there was a tremendous amount of respect between schools within the conference. And sometimes you get a little sniping here and a little sniping there between folks. But for the most part, I think Nebraska fits in very well with the other coaches and the other administrators. And the partnership has been very, very strong.
Joel Klatt of Fox, Nebraska's Nate Gary, Michigan head football coach Jim Harbaugh. Still to come here from Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. We'll be right back.
Superstation. ESPN. News Center.
No work is likely to happen this year on a water storage and restoration project in North Hastings. The Hastings Board of Public Works says they'll wait till August 11th to hear back from the Nebraska Department of Natural Resources on a report. Utilities manager Marvin Schultes.
I do believe we have lost this construction season. We're going to go through that, and based on that, do the redesign, get that approved. So it's going to take some time. And where that goes, I think, depends upon the August 11th meeting.
The project, known as the Aquifer Storage and Restoration Project, is a water swapping system meant to keep Hastings drinking water safe. There will be no jail time for a Florida woman who drowned a puppy at a central Nebraska airport bathroom. Cynthia Anderson was sentenced in Hall County Court yesterday to 2 years probation and was told she will not be allowed to own any animals for 5 years. Local animal advocates are calling Thursday's ruling, quote, disappointing. A Columbus mother has been convicted on charges of child abuse. Jody Shelley will be sentenced August 31st after pleading no contest to two counts of misdemeanor and negligent child abuse. Her boyfriend, 24-year-old Ryan Roberts, was also sentenced in May to 5 years in prison. And a Kansas City attorney is making his way through central Nebraska on a town hall meeting tour to discuss an ongoing lawsuit against Syngenta. Lee Cross says several farmers in the area have been affected by lower corn prices over the last couple of years thanks to a shipment that was rejected in China.
We hope to get them, you know, about 44 cents to $1.25 a bushel. That's why we hold these meetings. There are no guarantees. Syngenta made this very reckless mistake. We think they lied. It's not even the first time they've done this. They did this with a trade about 15 years ago.
And more town hall meetings are scheduled for today, including Broken Bow at 2 o'clock and Oconto at 4:30. With your Platte River Radio News Update, this is Brandon Peoples asking you to make an appointment to give blood during the 6th annual Rock and Roll Up Your Sleeve on Wednesday in the Tri-Cities in Holdridge. It's happening from noon until 6. Just call 1-800-RED-CROSS today to set an appointment.
Attention seniors looking for luxurious apartment living at an affordable rate? Look no further. Hastings Village has newly renovated apartments for rent. Come to our open house on Thursday, August 13th between 4:30 and 6:30 p.m. Tour our 1 and 2 bedroom apartments, which feature open floor plans, spacious kitchens, and lots of storage. Utilities are included in the rent. Modern day luxury and maintenance free living awaits you. Visit the Village on August 13th from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. and see senior living in a whole new light.
The Highland Park Farmers Market is open every Saturday morning from 8 till noon on the corner of 14th and Hastings Avenue behind the Hastings Museum. The Highland Park Farmers Market features the freshest locally grown and prepared items, including garden produce, herbs, plants, flowers, baked goods, natural products, farm-raised meat and poultry, handmade arts and crafts, and so much more. Enjoy the Highland Park Farmers Market at 14th and Hastings every Saturday morning from 8 till noon. For more information, call 402-519-3932 or visit Highland Park Market.org.
The following sponsors are proud to support the area youth involved with all the area county 4-H and livestock auctions. Aurora Co-op with a location near you. Hand Machining in Pleasanton. First Bank in Minden. Pleasanton Irrigation. CHS Agri Service Center. Family Physical Therapy. Burger King. Hellman Main Kostler and Cottle of Kearney. And Town and Country Bank. Member FDIC. Good luck to each and every one of you. Taking time out of your summer to be a part of such a great program is already a blue ribbon in itself.
A lot has changed regarding agriculture, but not the need for good information. And that's what AgView does best. This is Ken Rogers. AgView Radio and AgView.net is the only source of content specifically tailored for today's producer, rancher, business person, and all the people who work with and support agriculture. We cover ag markets like no one else, report agribusiness news like no one else, and provide you that information like no one else. On the radio, your computer, tablet, smartphone, or other digital device, AgView is the ag information source.
Enroll your kindergarten through fifth grader in the Hastings Family Y After School Fun Club. Your kiddos will enjoy snack time, adventure challenges, art and science projects, help with homework and gym time. Member rate $40 per week. Registration due by August 1st. Non-member rate $45 per week. Registration due by August 6th. Transportation available for an additional $10 per week. For more information, call 463-3139. The Hastings Y After School Fun Club, where imagination flourishes.
Doug Julio, Randy Bushcutter here in Chicago at Hyatt McCormick Place for the 2015 Big Ten Media Days, brought to you in part by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of Central and Western Nebraska. Our producer engineer Caleb Henry, Merritt Lawson, doing some yeoman's work back there for us as well at Big Ten Media Days. Some work back at the studio for us to bring you the Doug and Daddy Show again today. In the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And, of course, the Midway Auto Outlet now open also on South 2nd Avenue. All three spots within walking distance. You can walk from one to the other and have no problem doing that. You don't have to. You just will be driving your Midway vehicle. And with the continued growth, Midway has career opportunities for you. If you're searching for a progressive and stable company to build a career, they'd love to speak with you. A career with Midway is not like any other. The automotive industry is rapidly expanding, Midway is expanding, and they are looking for a chance to build a long-term relationship with you. Come be a part of the growth at Midway and recognize your full potential. You can go to midwaycareers.com, see the variety of openings there are. Maybe one of them fits in for you, maybe it doesn't. Doesn't hurt to look. Midwaycareers.com. You can see what they are looking for and then set up an appointment and see if you could be part of the Midway Auto Outlet. Stop in and talk today or go to midwaycareers.com. And, of course, if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, check them out this weekend at thinkmidway.com or stop by your local Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac.
See, a lot. We saw a couple of car dealerships when we were walking downtown. The Lamborghini, Rolls Royce, they've got about everything besides that. You know, Midway's got about everything besides that. And I noticed that they didn't have any prices on any of the windows, those cars.
Major League Baseball trade deadline is today, so a lot of moves are still going on. A few yesterday, Cole Hamels, the big move, and then things didn't work out so well for the Royals last night in Johnny Cueto's debut.
Yeah, my excuse of them not scoring any runs for him, well, you know, he didn't pitch well enough to really deserve the win yesterday.
So they'll go at it again tonight, 6:07, and you can hear it on the Breeze, 94.5. Excuse me, Cueto goes tonight. That is my bad. It was Friday. They played last night, the Royals.
Oh, okay, so
lost.
It wasn't Cueto.
Cueto goes
all
tonight.
All right, well then.
And so Cueto
you
gets
misled
the shot
me
tonight,
last night.
But he's got a tough one against Hutchinson, 9-2, yeah. Well,
That'd be a good matchup.
I've been wrong before. July was running out. I was running out of time to make that monthly mistake.
Well, I did point out, because the Royals gave up a couple of runs in the first couple of innings, gave up 3 runs in the first 2 innings. If you get to Cueto, you tend to get to Cueto early, because after he gets in a groove, he's going to stay in that groove for a while.
Still waiting for Joel Klatt to make his way down Radio Row. And so I think we're going to hear a few comments here from a Michigan head coach, Jim Harbaugh. We're going to have Nate Gary before the top of the show. So, Caleb, let's hear a little bit from the new Michigan head coach in Jim Harbaugh.
It's interesting how Ohio State and Michigan refer to one another. Brady used to call Ohio State Ohio, and Urban calls them the team up north or the rival. Do you have a special adjective for this, your opponent, your rival?
No, in Ohio State in particular, just Ohio State. But great to see everybody this morning. Glad everybody could be here. Wonderful turnout.
Coach, we'll go down on our left in the front for the next question.
Jason Galloway, Wisconsin State Journal. How much have you learned from Paul Christ and Mike Riley over the years?
So much. You know, that's one of the exciting things about being coaching in the Big Ten and knowing so many of the coaches. As you mentioned, Mike Riley, head coach at the Chargers when I was there. Also, Paul Christ was coach there in the staff. And some other connections. Jerry Kill, who a lot of competition with my dad. My dad has always said that Jerry Kill is one of the best coaches that he's ever coached against. Pat Fitzgerald, had a chance to spend some good time with him in Ann Arbor this summer. Really appreciate it. He came over and keynote speaker at our football camp. So a lot of friends in the Big Ten Conference.
Coach, we're going to stay on this side of the room, right in front.
Hi, Jim. Tom Crawford from the team, 92-1 Lansing. Obviously, Bo Schembechler's been a huge impact in your life from the days of Jason Rick Leach around the Schembechler Hall and such. Can you kind of incorporate those things that you will definitely keep, that will be Bo-like in your system, and maybe some of those aspects that, no way, I'm not going to do it the way Bo did it?
It'd be pretty much, if we could do it the way Bo did it, that'd be something to aspire to. So, and not a day goes by really where I don't think about Coach Schembechler. From the time I leave my house to go to the office, I live about 5 houses away from where Bo lived, and no matter which way I take to work, whether it's Devonshire or Geddes or Stadium, I'll often think, oh, Bo might have probably took this right on to Washington, or took this left onto Hill. I know he took this left onto State Street and parked my car and walked by his statue. And it's daily. I go to my office. I got a picture. There's a picture of Bo and myself when we were at the Rose Bowl in '87. And so it's to have his work ethic to run the program like he ran it. Yeah, those are things to aspire to.
Coach, we move over to the right side of the room on the far aisle in front.
Morning, Coach.
Morning.
Chris Buckner from FanReact. The Michigan fan base has and will continue to be a perennial powerhouse in college football. It's kind of one of the advantages of Michigan football. However, over the last couple of years, it's slid a little bit, the attendance, just because of on and off the field problems. What is the team and the university doing to make sure that what is arguably the best fan section in sports, what are they doing to make sure that that stays at 100%?
Well, I don't know how many things you can really do. I mean, if people don't want to come to a game, you know, you can't make them come. So But it doesn't seem like we've had that problem at the University of Michigan, as far as I can tell. So the spirit, the energy has been tremendous. I think everybody involved in Michigan and Michigan football is hungry for the 2015 season, including the fan base.
Coach, toward the back on the right.
I just quick question. All of us who have good days learn from them on how to be a
from
man.
Earlier today, haven't heard much from him lately, have we, Randy?
No. I kind of forgotten that Michigan got a new head coach. I mean, because they just been off the map.
It maybe put some makeup on what their team will be. It's definitely not a whole lot of talk about their team around here lately, and they're not anywhere considered for a top 25. They're midway in the pack in the Big Ten East. And that's some place that they do not want to be, and that's why Brady Hoke's not there anymore.
Yeah, they just were heading in the wrong direction. And I think long-term, hiring a Michigan guy, I like Harbaugh's chances. And the college game, I think, fits him a little bit better because he calls it like he sees it. That's the good news. Bad news is you put up with that 5 or 6 years with pros, they're going to get tired of it. With college kids, I think it's going to work a little bit better.
Randy, you remember when we were growing up and you played high school sports and you didn't like the other town, and then you went to college and you became best friends with them and you roomed with them, and then they were in your wedding and all things like that. Well, we're not quite that far with Colorado, but
that's
Joel
right.
Klatt sits down with us, the lead college analyst now. It'll be Gus and Joel. He's taken over from Charles Davis, who's going into the pro ranks. The former Colorado quarterback has spent his time in the media, and now – boy, you're going to have to make sure that they get that makeup right for you. You're a big
know,
time
man.
Boy.
Listen, they're calling in the righty. I feel a little bit like a relief pitcher. First of all, Charles, just a consummate pro, and I wish him all the best on the NFL. He's going to do a fabulous job because he's always so prepared and does such a good job. But I am so excited to, you know, be a part of this package of games and to work with a guy like Gus Johnson. It's going to be really a dream come true.
How are you guys going to work that? Because Gus can really – he can ride it himself.
Sure.
I mean, he's got all that energy.
Sure.
How do you kind of work that out? Have you figured that out yet?
Yeah, you know, I think the one great thing about Gus is you think that he might overpower you at times because you've got those big calls. But really, he's there, and we've talked about this, to make the big moments bigger and then give the rest of the game the air that it needs to breathe. And so there's actually, from an analyst perspective on the game, so we've rehearsed already together – there's actually a little bit more room than maybe other play-by-play men, which I wasn't expecting, and I'm really looking forward to because I think it lends itself to getting into really good football discussions, both on a broad sense and maybe more of a finite sense as well in terms of philosophical and schematic discussions.
Big words. Joel Klatt.
I'll explain them to you later.
College football lead analyst for Fox this fall, Joel Klatt, former Colorado Buffalo, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Obviously, you're not just stepping out of the analyst weekend booth. You've been doing college football games at a variety of levels. But what's different about sitting in studio watching the 10 televisions and trying to break things down and concentrating on the one game you've got to do that night?
Yeah, I think the best way to describe it is in the studio, you are a mile wide and an inch deep. You know, you don't get too in-depth on any game, but you have an opinion, a thought, an overarching thought, I guess it would be, on almost every game, and you're trying to keep track of everything, whereas the preparation for a game, it really is, you know, 40 hours, 45 hours of work, in which you're maybe going to use 10% of that information, but you have to do that work for the just-in-case scenarios. Well, you know, what happens in this scenario, that scenario, this situation with a player or an individual or a guy on the coaching staff, so on and so forth. So it's a different challenge, but one that I really welcome and enjoy doing a game. I love the energy of the game atmosphere, and I'll obviously still be a part of the weekly studio presence that college football will have on Fox Sports 1 and via satellite with some of our shows. So I'll still have some of that broad picture college football, which I really enjoy, but diving into one game is awful special each week.
What sort of tools do you use to kind of do the research and then organize that to kind of make sure that you're getting your facts right?
That's a great question. I use a homemade system. I make my own boards, you know, they're called. And so I just make a lineup for each unit, whether it's the defense or offense for both teams, with all of the depth chart on it. And I have information on each player. I get information from the media guide, from clips or articles. I watch film. I'll watch TV copies of game. And then I talk with people around the program, including media members around the program. So that usually covers your bases, and you're just trying to get as much information as you can in several different areas, both on the coaching staff as individuals and a whole, on the team, both as individuals and on the whole, and then as well as the offense and defense, the trends, the statistical trends. So there's tons of different stuff you can prepare for. That's why it takes so long. But in the end, if you do it right, you're sitting there and you have a good baseline of everything. And if you only use, like I said, 5 or 10% of that, it's usually a really good, successful week.
Joel Klatt with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're kind of at the end of the country's media days.
Yeah.
It's been going on since the SEC started. Did you learn anything in the last 3-4 weeks? I mean, you thought you might have known. I mean, we look at the polls. This team's going to be good. Did you learn anything?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, for this is for me at least, more about relationship building, both with the SIDs and the coaches and the media members that are covering all of these programs. It's so hard to learn anything because we cover college football on a 365 basis now. We understand, you know, whatever source you have, there's 5-6 different sources of information on every team and a blog, and it's being covered from a national perspective as well. So from a news standpoint, I don't think that there's really anything except for a release of the suspensions for Ohio State players. I think that's probably the one biggest aspect of the media day tours that is going to affect the season the most is the suspensions of the 4 Ohio State players for week 1 against Virginia Tech.
The NCAA has made a lot of steps to try to make the experience and things like that for athletes better.
Yeah.
One of the first times you kind of made a national name for yourselves in terms of having a microphone on was after your concussion, and you were very vocal about how the NCAA really wasn't taking care of student athletes. Compare when you got the concussion against Texas to today, is the NCAA gone far enough? Just kind of talk about the process where we're at.
Well, I think if you look at our country and the size of the monetary, giant that college football is, I would say college football players are one of the most exploited groups in our country from just a free market capitalist standpoint. And they were more so when I was playing. And now they've been flipped a couple of coins, and then everyone wants it to go away and say, look, we're taking care of these players. But the broad strokes of this are not being taken care of with just cost of attendance. It's never been about cost of attendance for me. The exploitation for me happens when name and likeness is being used with no compensation and no ability for me as a person to capitalize on that name and likeness when it's as valuable as it will ever be for the majority, 90, 95% of the players. And they are basically told you have an inability to capitalize on your name and likeness or else you're going to be ineligible. I just don't think that's right. I think that amateurism has molded itself at the Olympic level to something that's much more of a modern free market principle type of arena where players and people and athletes can capitalize on their own name and likeness. That's really where I have the biggest problem with the NCAA and amateurism under the NCAA, is that it's taken more of a hardline approach than it has in other arenas around the world, in particular in the Olympic arena, and the name and likeness issue is at the forefront of that.
It was like the good old boy network. Let's just go play games. Let's not worry about everybody else.
Man,
and it has come a long way here to the playoff system.
Sure.
You got social media that wasn't like it was when you played. Where do you think the state of college football is with the playoff and the goods and the bads?
Yeah, I think it's better now than it probably ever has been, and I think it's got a long way to go, and it's got a lot of challenges ahead of it. I think it's phenomenal. Look at the growth in terms of the ratings that the college football playoff presented, not just for their own games, but for across the country. I'll give you a great example. We had a game on Fox Sports 1 on a Friday night directly against the World Series. I think it was Game 4 of the World Series, which was being played in San Francisco, and I had a game, Cal hosting Oregon in Levi Stadium. So in San Jose, the World Series is being played in San Francisco. We got well over 1 million viewers, and it's because Oregon was a national influencer at the time because people in the SEC cared. Alabama, I believe, had a loss at that point. They needed to see what Oregon was going to do to see if Alabama or Ole Miss or Mississippi State or Ohio State or TCU or Baylor, all these fan bases and conference fan bases now have an interest in all the games around the country. So from that standpoint, it couldn't be stronger. I love college football for that reason. The challenges are that we've got way too many goals as a sport because we allow too many people at the table to have conversations about the sport. We need to figure out what the goals are specifically and then get the people at the table to talk about the issues that will help us reach those goals. But sitting an institution's president or chancellor next to the athletic director and coaches and conference commissioners and TV executives, everybody has a different goal. Therefore, however we get to those separate goals is going to be very convoluted and it's going to be contrarian to a large extent. And until we iron all of that out, you can't be strictly collegiate like the president wants, and you can't be strictly monetary like the television and the conference commissioners want. So until we get that ironed out, I think it's going to continue to kind of weave its way around trying to be collegiate and also trying to make the most money possible.
Is there some concern about maybe overexposure of college football? Because, you know, you got the Thursday night games, you got the Friday night games, and obviously Fox Sports 1 getting involved a little bit more. Is there a breaking point?
I don't see it. You know, the growth pattern and, you know, the curve is just continues to go up. I think if it was going to break, I think the NFL would tell us first. And I think the NFL is going to break its growth pattern before college football for one gigantic reason. The fan bases in college football have a more direct tie to their institution than the fan bases of an NFL franchise. The NFL franchise has a fan base wide just because they're the NFL team in that city, whereas the direct tie of being an alum to an institution or your dad was an alum, it's more a fabric of who we are culturally, college football, and our collegiate experience than the NFL. So until we see the dip in the NFL, that's when I think we'll have to start worrying about the dip in college football. But until then, I think we're probably going to remain stronger than even the NFL because of those close-knit ties. And the globalization of our sport, college football versus the NFL, globalization meaning because of the playoff, everybody is affected now by almost every single regular season game.
Well, let's at least get a question piece in here before we let Joel Klatt go, the lead college football analyst.
I love this, by the way. I very rarely get to talk about the, you know, the big overarching aspects of college football, and I think there are discussions that have to be had. So I appreciate the questions.
Well, we try to get a little something different. We're different, so we just, you know, we're strange and different, so we just will get it out there. But outside of Ohio State, many folks say, hey, finally the Big Ten is back. They're in the national scene.
Sure.
They're going to be talked about on a pretty much equal basis with three or four other conferences. But outside of Ohio State, how do you see this conference?
I think that the best team outside of Ohio State is Michigan State. Michigan State is really good, and they have been for two straight years. And their quarterback is back, who's been their quarterback for those 2 years. The two players, I think, across the country that don't get enough credit for this upcoming season are two quarterbacks that are two of the most experienced and championship-level quarterbacks that we have in our sport. Kevin Hogan of Stanford and Connor Cook at Michigan State. I don't understand why more people aren't talking about these players. I understand it to a greater degree with Hogan because he struggled and Stanford struggled a year ago. I think that they'll bounce back a little bit. All they need is a running back. They probably have it in Christian McCaffrey, Ed McCaffrey's son. But the Connor Cook issue, they've got Shalik Calhoun back. D'Antonio is still there. The mindset, the tradition, the way that they play football, and an NFL-caliber quarterback is sitting there in East Lansing. That is a very difficult team to beat, and a team that I believe is a top-five team all day long because they proved themselves to be that in each of the past two seasons.
It seems to me we always grade how a conference is based on the lead dog pulling the sled team.
Right.
You know? And so the Big Ten's pretty good because Ohio State won the national championship. Top to bottom, where is the Big Ten versus, you know, SEC and those other conferences they look at?
I would say it's a clear third and very close to the Big 12. The Pac-12 and the SEC are so deep that I think those two have separated themselves out. And the bottom of the Big Ten, the bottom of the Big 12, and really the bottom half or more of the ACC kind of drags that conversation down, whereas the depth in particular of the SEC West and in particular of the Pac-12 South make those two conferences pretty clearly the strength in terms of the country. But make no mistakes about it. I think that the level of coaching in the Big Ten is on the rise in a huge way, and part of that is with Mike Riley at Nebraska. I think he's a fantastic football coach. I think Jim Harbaugh is a total coup, not only for college football, but for the Big Ten. James Franklin is a wonderful coach, Mark D'Antonio, and then Urban Meyer, who quite simply is, in my estimation, the best college football coach in the country.
Well, we've got the poll that came out, the coaches poll, the AP poll will come out later. We all know that Ohio State, TCU, Alabama, Baylor are the top four. We all know those aren't the four that are going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So I think the funner thing for me, or what's more fun, since that's not even a word, what's more fun for me is, do you have a squad out there that you think can make a major move this year?
I've got three dark horses. I'll actually say four dark horses. One of them I just talked about, so that's why I'm going to go.
Stanford?
Michigan State. I think Michigan State is a heck of a team. Stanford's one of those. I think they're going to have a bounce-back year. Their defense, while they lose lots of players, still has a great mentality. They play physical. I love the way they run to the football. And like I said, their run game should be much better, which will lead to more production for Kevin Hogan. And then the two teams I would really pay attention to as teams that not only can, well, one of them win their division, but both could win their conference and end up in the playoff. Oklahoma. Expectations are low, and they shouldn't be. Oklahoma's one heck of a roster. They get any semblance of quarterback play, which I believe they will from Baker Mayfield. Remember, Lincoln Riley? Yeah, I think it's Lincoln Riley from East Carolina is moving in as their offensive coordinator. And this is a move for Stoops that's back to his original form of when he started at Oklahoma, when he had Mike Leach mm-hmm. as his coordinator, and they won a national championship. So this is a great move for Leach. He goes back to the air raid offense with a quarterback that knew the air raid offense when he played in it, for Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech. So Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma, watch out for them. And then my sleeper team in all of the country, Arizona State. Arizona State is probably going to beat Texas A&M, and that's going to light a fire under not only the Pac-12 South, but also Arizona State. Mike Bercovici is an experienced quarterback, won on the road against USC last year. And they got 10 of 11 starters back on defense, of a defense that's very opportunistic, creates turnovers, and does a heck of a job under Todd Graham.
Obviously, Joel, we're a Nebraska radio station. Got to ask the question a little bit of where you see the Huskers at. I know you said that you like the hire of Riley, but where do you see the Huskers?
Yeah, I think it's for me, a bit of a wait and see. Here's one thing I do know about Mike Riley teams, having covered him pretty extensively in the last few years. Mike has his best teams when he's got a couple of top-line NFL-style players. Not great college players, but top NFL-line players. In particular, if he has a wide receiver, that's a big target. And in particular, when he's got a quarterback, that's the prototypical quarterback like Sean Mannion was or Derek Anderson was at Oregon State under Mike Riley. And those are the things that I'll be waiting for Nebraska to get. I like Tommy Armstrong. I think he's a good player. I think he's going to have a much better season than probably people expect because of the efficiencies within Mike's system. To me, I think they could win the Big Ten West, but a lot of that is that the West is not all that strong. You know, all of it comes down to Wisconsin, right? I mean, that's
you're not offending anybody here. We know that.
That's a game it comes down to, and then you're going to get one heck of a team in either Michigan State or Ohio State in that title game. And I don't see Wisconsin or Nebraska winning that game, but one of them is going to play for the Big Ten title.
Joel Klatt, he's going to be the lead analyst for Fox this year. He and Gus will be belting out some great college football
it's
games.
It's going to be great.
Joel, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Joel. Congratulations on the new job,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. Be back with Nebraska safety Nate Gary and wrap things up for day two of Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Brought to you in part by Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee. Back after this.
From AgView.net, I'm Ryan Martin with a market update. At mid-session, corn and beans continue to work just a little bit lower. Wheat is the darling of the industry right now, up both in Chicago and in Kansas City. The big question is, can we hold it? There hasn't been a lot of new news since earlier this morning. Macro markets have been in a tizzy because of the employment cost index report that was out. Chicago PMI, both of those not helpful, whacking the dollar index hard. But you know what? An interesting thing has happened over the past few hours. The old dollar index hasn't been as bad of a dog as what people had feared. At one point, triple digits down. Now we're only off 71 points. So there is that. Not seeing much else out there. People still looking at the weather saying, oh, geez, it's dry in spots. But, hey, we've got rain coming as we go through the next week. In the next 6 to 7 days, we've got rain for about 90% of the Corn Belt. That should allay fears of the, quote, flash drought that have been working through the marketplace over the past 24 hours. But I think the bigger key here is the fact that it's end of month. Last day of July, you got a little market consolidation going here at the end of the month. Got corn right now down half to 1 cent. Beans are down anywhere from 7.5 to 8.75 cents. In Chicago, wheat is up anywhere from 3/4 to 3.25. Kansas City wheat up 2.5 to 3 cents. Oats are even up a little bit on the day. Livestock markets have been all over the place today, starting strong, then going down. I think you've got some concern over cash cattle trade. Cattle up 60 cents on the August, but down 35 to 60 cents on the rest of the contracts. Feeder cattle down 42 at 210.80. And then you've got the hogs. October hogs down $1.90 at 63.80 overall. Outside markets showing cotton a little bit stronger. The energy markets, though, crude oil down almost a dollar. Gasoline is still strong on good demand. And as you take a look at the dollar index, as we said, down 72. More market information online at agview.net. I'm Ryan Martin.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I feel like I'm whole again. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Take the route to summer savings at Garrett Tires and Treads. The Fusion Touring Tire provides a quiet ride, combining value and comfort. As low as $44.95 for the 185/60R14 size. Firestone Precision Touring Tires provide great traction and high mileage and are $100 off a set of four. Drive into Garrett Tires and Treads now and save. Free offer ends August 31st. Find out more savings at Garrett-Tire.com.
Garrett Guarantee. Garrett Tires and Treads.
Maxim Clay is August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd Annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
It may be the granddaddy of them all. The 88th Annual Southwest Open is August 8th and 9th at the Holdridge Country Club. The $95 entry fee includes a free practice round on Friday, free range balls, a dinner Saturday night, plus the yearly Calcutta. A two-day cart rental is available for a fee. You can print off a registration form at holdridgecc.com or call the Holdridge Country Club at 308-995-5744. The annual Southwest Open, August 8th and 9th.
Doug and Daddy's show live for Big Ten Media Days here in Chicago. A lot of baseball trades going on. Heron from the Marlins to the Cubs. Don't know if the Cubs will get there, but they had a nice win last night. We were eating at Lou Magliano's. I said it right last night. Had your deep dish pizza that was recommended, but we knew about and got to enjoy it last night. And Cubs had two hits going into the eighth inning against the Brewers, and all of a sudden they win the ball game. Rizzo with the 3-run home run. The place is just goes nuts a little bit, so it was kind of cool to be here when that happened.
It was interesting. Both the Cubs and White Sox playing at the same time. I pointed it out to you last night. 9 TVs that I could see, 8 of the 9 were on the Cubs.
Duh. So there you go. As part of Big Ten Media Days, T&L Irrigation wants to let you know that they want to be as successful as your favorite college football team, which we all know is the Huskers, just like it is at T&L Irrigation. T&L in your field, like no other, making sure that you have got everything you need with their navigation corner system. The T&L GPS navigation corner system represents the optimum in pivot corner system management. See your local T&L dealer today, like Bill Shapley in Kearney, Derek Wagner over in Holdridge, or go to TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation, like no other. We are going to take a quick break for a Mike Will Sports Update, and then to finish out our show today, we're going to hear from Nebraska safety and one of the pride of South Dakota Husker football players, Nate Gary, Husker captain. He's going to join us right after this from Chicago.
ESPN Superstation Sports Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, a Sports Center update on ESPN, brought to you by Plum Creek Motors in Lexington, where one gets a great deal and a great deal more. Well, Big Ten Media Days continues today in Chicago. Nebraska head coach Mike Riley was on stage this morning. Starting at quarterback for Nebraska will be Tommy Armstrong, the junior who has directed the Nebraska offense each of the past 2 years. And Riley says they have adjusted their offensive scheme to cater to his abilities.
Well, like I said earlier with Tommy, you know, he's able to run the football. He's had experience running some of the zone read stuff. His mobility and throwing the football outside the pocket is good. So it's made us, in a lot of ways, kind of get out of our own box and look at what's good for the players, because what you want to do all the time is not necessarily what's going to be best to do for your team. And so discovering and then selecting that, like I said, is a big, big issue in how this is going to look in this season.
Meanwhile, Northwestern's head coach Pat Fitzgerald says Nebraska is the team to beat if anybody wants to head to the Big Ten Championship from the West.
You know, I said it when Nebraska came into the league internally that, you know, especially I assumed that we were going to go to an East and a West. That was going to be the team that, in my opinion, you know, outside of the traditional teams in our conference, that is going to be the beacon that we're going to have to try to become to win a Big Ten championship. And it I think I've been right on. You know, the atmosphere out there on game day is you know, it's special. And, you know, we've been out there twice now, and this will be year three. So it's a great place, and it seems like it's been fun for our fans. I mean, I even saw something where there was like a debate on who's NU. You know, I mean, it's cool. It's what college football is all about.
Big Ten Media Days will continue throughout the day in Chicago. Millard South will play Omaha Creighton Prep for the Class A State American Legion Baseball Championship tomorrow. Millard South captured the Hastings tournament this week by beating Papillion South twice in the championship series, while Prep went undefeated in the Omaha tournament. Class B Senior State Tournament will get underway tomorrow in Cozad. First-round games will have McCook against Omaha Roncalli at 11, followed by Albion against Beatrice at 2. Ogallala will play Blair at 5 o'clock, followed by Cozad against Hickman at 8. The Class C Senior State Tournament will go on in Battle Creek. Shelton Gibbon will play Pender at 11, followed by Brooding Davenport Shickley against Elmwood Murdoch Nehaka at 2 o'clock. Alma will battle Louisville Weeping Water at 5, followed by Battle Creek against Crofton at 8 o'clock. And the Toronto Blue Jays beat the Kansas City Royals 5-2 last night. Same two teams will play at 6:07 tonight. Pre-game show begins at 5:30 on The Breeze, KOLIQ 94.5. And that's a sports update on ESPN. I'm Mike Will.
When you're looking for the best deal, head into Plum Creek Motors.
You can buy the best and say for sure that'll make you happy, don't you know? And we came along with this little song so you know where to go.
Now, buying the best and saving for sure will make you happy, and you'll get them both when you deal with my good friends at Plum Creek Motors. You'll buy the best because they have a complete selection of everything new from Chevrolet and Buick. And you'll save for sure because they have the best prices and super financing to go along with it. Yep, buying the best and saving for sure makes me happy. It makes Mama happy, too, which in turn makes me even happier. Plum Creek Motors, where you'll get a great deal and a great deal more.
Now we've told you where and told you why, and we wouldn't tell you wrong. Folks every day keep a heading that way, so why don't you come on along?
The best vehicles, the best prices, and lots of happy faces can be found at one place, Plum Creek Motors, across the street from the Dawson County Fairgrounds in Lexington. Join the happy crowd and see them today at Plum Creek Motors.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
Back here at Big Ten Media Days, brought to you by the Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer. A lot of places say they are a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter here at the Hyatt McCormick Place for just a few more minutes, basically long enough to hear from Nebraska safety Nate Gary. We'll do that, and then when we get back, we're also going to have a chance, reportedly, to talk to Tommy Armstrong and Jordan Westerkamp. You'll hear Jordan this afternoon on Hail Varsity with Chris Schmidt. He'll have more with some of the folks that'll be moving back and forth, because it'll start getting busy again from about 2 to 6, which is unlike what we have done the previous 4 years here at Big Ten Media Days. It would have been over by now,
yeah.
But we should get a chance to talk some more folks. And speaking of talking, let's talk about the Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you what you're most looking forward to from Big Ten Media Days yesterday. Shocker, all things Huskers, 50%,
surprise,
38%
surprise,
from the coaches,
surprise.
12% said the players. They want the insight knowledge from the Huskers and from the coaches. And, you know, when you talk to the players, you just kind of that one interesting nugget. It may not have anything to do with football. It may have to do with eating raw eggs with the shell on them. It may have to do with shaving the stash. It may have to do with a lot of things.
It's kind of nice to see them as humans. You know what I mean? Because everybody's got their own little story. I mean, whether you know Swahili or you've been on a mission trip in the Sudan or what have you, a lot of interesting dudes coming through here.
Our question today, should the college football playoff require teams that are independent to join a conference, basically saying you're ineligible if you're not in a conference that affects Notre Dame, BYU, Army, schools like that? Yes, they should. No, they shouldn't. Or just Notre Dame, or Notre Dame and BYU, and let the service academies do what they want. No, you can't mandate that.
No, I don't think so either.
Especially because I think all of those schools play good enough schedules to where if they put themselves in a position, you shouldn't have any problem with it.
Well, and Notre Dame is a great example of that because they play traditionally Michigan State, Michigan. I mean, the USC, there's some schools in there that there are traditional powers that they play every year.
But you can vote now on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Notre Dame's kind of in the conference. I mean, they have that secondary affiliation with the ACC.
The biggest wuss move they could have possibly made.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. To me, it seemed that having that kind of relationship with the Big Ten, and I don't know if the conference would have signed off on that, but, you know, they always played Michigan. They always played Michigan State. You know, so, I mean, they had that's not ducking the biggies in the Big Ten Conference at all.
Doug and Danny's show from Big Ten Media Days, Husker Day on this second day. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, and just north of the border, and by north of the border, we mean Nebraska's border. Nate Gary joins us, team captain for the Huskers, getting ready for 2015. Nate, good morning. How are you? Are you ready for camp?
I am excited for camp, and I'm also excited for today.
Well, we'll get you off on the right foot here, hopefully, for the day. We started a little bit of fishing there up in South Dakota. I'm going to be honest. There's a lot of guys, a lot of folks that listen to the show know about fishing. I got to know a little bit how your summer went and where your spots are up there.
Me and my dad kind of hit up the Chamberlain River quite a bit. You know, he's brought me out there since I was young. It's kind of been a little family bonding experience since we've been kids. And so we kind of go out there. I got a little lucky spot, you know, the 6-tree in underneath the bridge. So, you know, I've been there a couple times.
Is there a pheasant hunting spot that you go?
You know what? That's one thing I do not do.
Really?
I'm not much of a hunter, you know. Once my grandpa passed away when I was young, he was kind of the hunter in the family, and me and my dad kind of mellowed out from that. So we kind of just stick to the, you know, reeling them out of the water.
It's more relaxing that way.
Yeah, it's more relaxing.
Do you get a chance to do it in and around Lincoln, or do you have a teammate that takes you out to a fishing hole maybe a little farther in western or northern Nebraska?
Oh, yeah. Actually, Tommy, you know, Tommy's a pretty big fisherman. We got some, we got like Byerson, you know, the other safety. He's a Mississippi boy, so he loves to fish too. So we get a group of guys and go out every now and then on the weekends, and we have a pretty good time.
Doug mentioned on the introduction about your new leadership role in terms of being a team captain. You've always been kind of seen as a leader. Do you embrace that, or is that kind of a necessary evil of being a pretty good defensive player?
You know, that was one of the goals I had for myself for this year. I believe that I have a ability to, you know, pick guys up. And one thing that I think I bring to the team, the best part I bring to the team is that, you know, I know the guys pretty well. You know, like I know them all like the back of my hand. So, you know, if somebody's down, I know what type of things that will motivate them and bring them up and get them to go and, you know, kind of follow along. And so I think that's one thing that I was very successful in is, you know, being able to pick up my teammates. And I believe that, you know, I have that capability of, you know, being able to motivate them and push them to get move forward.
So your style of leadership is going to be a very vocal style.
Yeah. You know, growing up, I've never really been a vocal kind of guy, but, you know, growing up and playing college football now, I believe that, you know, football's changing and, you know, you kind of have to speak up a little bit. And, you know, some people look up to me as a leader. So I think that, growing up and being an upperclassman now, I think I do have to open my mouth a little bit. You can't really just show by example, but, you know, you do have to throw a couple words in there.
Talking with Nate Gary here on the Doug and Daddy Show at Big Ten Media Days. Coach made the announcement of the captains before fall ball. Some do, some don't. Significance of that and how the summer went, a lot of people thought, well, we've got a new coaching staff, so we need some leaders here over the summer. Can you tell us a little bit about the summer workouts and how maybe that played into it?
Yeah, you know, Coach Riley believes that the summer is player-driven. So, you know, I liked the way he did it. He established the leaders and the captains early where, you know, we had six guys who, the younger guys, the freshmen who came in, had people to look up to in the summer where if they're, you know, down in the dumps or whatnot and they need somebody to look up to, it was kind of nice to know that they had somebody and they knew which guy was set in stone and who'd been there, who'd done that. And so, you know, I was kind of pretty excited that he did that. And it, like you said, it's player driven the summer, and I think the summer went really well. You know, I think that the guys have bonded really well, especially with the new guys coming in and then the whole new staff. And I think just the atmosphere around Lincoln is just, it's just great.
You touched on the new staff, and that outsider, it's easy for us to say that this is now Coach Riley's team versus being Coach Pelini's team. But you're kind of saying that over the summer, it's your guys' team. It's your team. Kind of work me through that. Is it still going to be your team, or is it going to be Coach Riley's team as the fall moves forward?
You know, I think it's going to be our team. You know, with that whole transition happening and stuff, and you know, there's every guy had an option to leave and whatnot, and you know, we have probably a lot of big numbers out of compared to anybody else in the country. We probably have 140 kids on our team, and you know, out of 140 or whatever, we probably had 138, 137 stay. So I think that, you know, that kind of tells you something, that all of us wanted to be together and that, you know, we could do this together. And that's one thing that a lot of us do see, is that, you know, if we all put our minds on one thing, that we can do it.
Nebraska Junior Safety Nate Gary spending some time with us here in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days. Nate, just tell us a little bit about what the difference is from the coaching staff last year to this year, maybe some small different things on the field that that you noticed right away in spring ball.
I think the communication, it's a little bit more vocal. I think I'm not really sure if that's because of, you know, the whole learning atmosphere and everything, but you know, as a player standpoint, it was a lot of sitting back and kind of watching and observing, you know, understanding how the coach coaches, you know, how they do their drills and how they go about their day. So you know, being a player throughout that transition, you kind of had to sit back and watch a little bit. And you know, I thought the coaches did a tremendous job, especially with Coach Riley, that, you know, he brought us all in individually, had us sit down. And one thing that I really enjoyed that all the coaches did, that they did, that they sat us down and they kind of got to know us a little bit more and got to know the background, who we hang out with and stuff like that. So I thought the coaches did a real good job of getting to know the players, where, you know, they want to get this thing rolling, get going too. So, you know, they're not sitting back and waiting for a season or whatnot. And they're ready to go, as just as we are.
I also thought it was somewhat interesting that it split the team up during spring camp. The whole spring camp atmosphere had to be a radical change in terms of who are these guys. You know, they're trying to figure out who you guys are. Are you past that, or are you still trying to get to know what the style is and where you're going?
You know, I think certain spots are kind of set in stone. But I think one thing that I really did enjoy during the spring is that, especially on the offensive side, you know, Coach Riley had, you know, offensive linemen in and out. You know, working with the first team, third team, who works together and what positions, maybe moving guys to different spots. And, you know, that's one thing I really did enjoy, is that he's trying people. And watching the offense in spring ball is that they did move guys around a lot, such as DeMornay. You know, we saw him running speed motion and doing stuff like that. So they're putting guys, you know, moving guys like Westy from inside to outside every now and then. So they're moving guys around. And, you know, that's one thing that I saw in the spring, and I think that Coach Riley's done a pretty good job of.
Couple moments here with the Nate Gary on the Doug and Daddy Show before we let him move on to the next spot. Three juniors Coach brought here to Big Ten Media Days, which is unlike any of the other teams. And then six captains. I want to go back to one of the boys from our area that's on the defensive side of the ball. That's Jack Gangwish. Tell me a little bit about a kid like that that walks on, and he's getting a lot of pub, and he hunts a little bit once in a while,
oh,
too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a hunter.
Tell me a little bit about what you see from him.
You know, Jack, he's just that guy you want on your team. You know, he's that walk-on Nebraska guy that, you know, people have seen in the past. You know, he's a guy who's always got that motor running. He's a guy you want on your team. He's a leader in the weight room. That's something you want every morning. You know, he's always a guy jacking people up, getting ready, people go. But, you know, Jack is just that guy that is out. He's always 100%. You know, even if he's having a bad day, he might not do the assignment right or whatnot. But he's going to give you his full effort, and that's one thing you want out of a kid like Jack, especially on the DN side that we need to fill this year, is the DN spot. And I think that Jack's going to do a tremendous job, as he did last year towards the end of the season. And he's just got that motor that, you know, just some people don't have, and that's just one thing that you need on the team.
Nate, you had offers from Iowa State, Michigan State, Arizona State, Minnesota, a lot of options, but you only visited Nebraska. It seems like you were on board very early with the Huskers. Why?
My head coach back in high school, Brian Hermanson, he reminded me a lot of Coach Pelini, and, you know, that's, I give all my, you know, besides my parents, I give all the credit to Coach Hermanson, who helped me get here. And, you know, that was one thing that I really enjoyed, that Coach Hermanson, the style of coaching that he did was the same style as Coach Pelini. And, with Coach Pelini, you know, what you get, like what you see is what you're going to get. And that's one thing that I really enjoyed. And then once you step on campus in Lincoln, you know, that's what the coaches smile about because they know they got you locked in once you get here. And, you know, I was pretty excited. I brought my family, and, you know, that's when I told Coach Herman saying this. When I go down there to Lincoln, I'm probably going to commit just because, you know, it's close to home. I got a lot of family, and they want to watch me play, and family means a lot to me, so I wanted to stay home.
And they finally, not a lot of South Dakotans go on to play Division I football, and the programs up there are starting to become a little more nationally known. So some Nebraska kids are going up to South Dakota, but you're not the only South Dakota kid on the roster. Lane's here, and just tell me a little bit about high school football in South Dakota, and there are some guys to go find.
Yeah, you know, I think South Dakota football is on the rise. You know, when I played in high school, my brother, when I was a freshman, my brother's a senior, I think that we do have a lot of athletes in South Dakota. We may get passed up by, but, like, a lot of our players go play for North Dakota State. And, you know, North Dakota State's having a past 5 years. They've had a really good couple years or whatnot. And, you know, I think that South Dakota does get passed up by, you know, recruiting stuff. But that's one of those motivations that kind of just keeps, the humbleness in South Dakota is that keeps pushing those kids is that, you know, you just got to work for what you want. You know, growing up, we don't have much, and that's just one of those things that South Dakota needs is, you know, we don't just don't get that much recruiting, and, you know, that's just one thing that kind of just motivates people. And but I think we do get passed up by some recruiters or whatnot, but I do believe that, you know, I played with a couple of kids that I know could have played on my team, and it's just, you know, the location's kind of tough.
Well, hopefully we got you on the right team here for another couple of years. Last thing, you talked about having a little time to fish. You're a captain. You're doing a lot of off-the-field, volunteer-type stuff. It shows, obviously, a leadership and maturity by being able to do that. What do you enjoy most about working with whatever it – there's three or four things here that are listed that you do. What do you enjoy most about that? Because there's not a whole lot of time during the season to be able to volunteer, but you find some.
You know, I just – when you go in Lincoln, you just got so many kids who look up to you. And like I said, being from South Dakota, you know, you don't get to see – you don't get to see things like that, and kind of just bring it back, you know, reminiscing a little bit, you know, being one of those little kids and going to camps and stuff, looking up, you know, I want to be one of those guys. And so it's kind of just working with those younger kids and just knowing that they want to be in the spot you're in, and just being able to, you know, be a helping hand, volunteer in the community. And, you know, as much as Lincoln does for us, that, you know, it's just something we can do back for them.
Hey, Gary, junior, captain, starting safety for the Huskers. Thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and have fun in camp.
I will. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks, Nate. Nate Gary joining us here, Husker safety, one of the captains, and we'll have more from Jordan Westerkamp coming up next week, Monday, on the Doug and Daddy Show. You'll also be able to hear from Jordan and the folks on Hail Varsity, which is coming up from 4 to 6 o'clock this afternoon. And once again, with the preview, here's Schmitty.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We had a good morning. We had a good afternoon. We're expecting to have more for next week. But you, what do we got going on today?
Loaded up. The Minnesota trio, and including that mauling running quarterback, Mitch Leiter.
He's not duck very much.
No, he'll jump on with this. Two standouts defensively for Minnesota, time permitting, will also be with this. Leonte Carew, potential top two round NFL pick, a stud wideout for Rutgers, spend some time. And then remember Dave Wanstead?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dave Wanstead will be on the show. Can't wait for that. Jordan Westerkamp will join us. Tommy Armstrong will be with us. And we'll also try and run down. We haven't gotten a Spartan yet.
Good luck.
And I know their day was yesterday, but they're still milling around.
Well, we'll go get some.
I know, right? We need a Spartan.
No, we were told that they'd be coming back around and haven't seen that yet.
So. We have spies with trank darts and trees. I'm kidding. That's not nice.
You need a bigger dart if you're going to get down Calhoun out of here.
Yeah, right?
Shalik is going to fight that off. Don't drug him now. Just make him mad.
Chris Schmidt and Hail Varsity. More for Big Ten Media Days this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Have a good one, Schmidt.
Guys are awesome. Thanks.
We'll hear a whole lot more over the next couple of weeks. Getting ready for Fan Day next Wednesday night, and then practice next Thursday for the Huskers. Don't forget our Big Red Reports with Sean Callahan air daily beginning Monday here on ESPN Radio. And we want to wrap things up saying thanks so much to all the folks that joined us today. Joel Klatt, the lead analyst for Fox Sports College Football this year. Also Nebraska football coach Mike Riley, Husker safety Nate Gary, Drew Ott, our Trumbull and Giltner native, who is an All-American candidate now at the University of Iowa. Indiana head quarterback at Indiana, Nate Sudfeld, who is one of the presenting speakers for the players at the Big Ten Media Luncheon going on right now. Some bits from a Jim Harbaugh, Michigan quarterback, and a whole lot more. We have got plenty of stuff to bring back for you to hear from our players over the next couple of weeks on the Doug and Daddy Show, brought to you in part by Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee, the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of Central and Western Nebraska, and the Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer. A lot of places say they are a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Randy, your final thoughts?
Well, you know, in Nebraska, we get to talk about, we talk about football pretty much all year round. Boy, you really get that focus right now. And again, I'm always really struck by the quality of the people, the human beings, the young men that come here and represent their various schools. And one of the things, we haven't heard these interviews yet, but we asked a couple of different Rutgers players, and we touched on this earlier, talked about a couple of Rutgers players, what was the conference like? And they said one of their fondest memories of joining the Big Ten Conference was how they were treated when they played Nebraska, what the venue was like, the energy in the building, and yet it wasn't a thing of animosity in how they were embraced. It's always great to hear that.
Big Red still brings it.
They do.
They may turn their teeth on their own. They're young right now when it comes to coaches and players, but it's going to be here before you know it, and we're so glad that you were a part of Big Ten Media Days. Don't forget, we'll be back in studio Monday with a lot more to talk about. Best of luck, BNC. Senior baseball tournaments get underway in Cozad and Battle Creek, so good luck to the teams playing there. And for our producer, Caleb Henry, and Randy Bushcutter, we've got more work to do here, but we'll get you back to national programming and Hail Varsity coming your way this afternoon at 4. This is Doug Duda saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.